जय शिपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणानंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम मित्रीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की बृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंग माई की यमुन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली ശ്രീമദ്ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണി ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं साबीदां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिजं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणि प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमाओं विष्णुपराय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिनी श्री वर्षभान विदे विदेदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञानम दायिने प्रभवे नमा माधुर्योज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्री रूपानुगभक्तिदा श्री गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धावसिद्धान्तद्वान्दहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभूमे स्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिय वैष्णव सार्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं भक्तशाप्त्विजं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते पाङ्गोर्नुमन्दमदीर्गदी मत्सर्वस्वदाम्भौजौ राधामदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्दनागरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमन्दादा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठादिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशीवटतटस्थिताकर्षन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपीनाथाश्रयेऽस्तु नाम തുത്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദയതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാല നന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജലാഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമഹരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സഞ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രവീയമാനം മുധാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്ദിനിവേസ്തവൈർവേദൈ സംഗപദൈർക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So Vritrasura's story, his previous life, Purvajanmam, that last birth, that his story, that story Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is talking to Parikshit Maharaj. Accordingly, because Parikshit wanted to know who is this Vritrasura, he was curious to find out who this personality Vritrasura is. First of all, in an asuric body. Asuric body means full of rajogunam and tamogunam. And in that body, Vritrasura has the highest bhakti. How could this happen? This is what surprised Parikshit. Parikshit is asking that in a rajogunam, tamogunam body like that, because it's quite unusual. Normally, if there is rajogunam, it will be either like Kamsa or Shishuvala or Jarasandha, these kind of people, that's Rajogunam in them. Or Hiranyasha or Hiranyakashipu. These are examples of Rajogunam in the Bhagavadam. But here we have Vritrasura who is in the Asuric body, Asuric Shariram. And in that, which is completely fixed with Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And there you find the devotion or bhakti. What is being compared to the gopi's bhakti in the Bhagavadam? How could such a contrast happens in this situation? He was asking this. So it is at that time, it's a flashback going back to the history of Vritrasura to talk about this king Chitrakedu, which we have talked about last Sunday. And it is that Chitrakedu's life which turned him to Vritrasura. The incidents what happened in his life, Chitrakedu's life, which has turned him later on to become Vritrasura. So this is the important point. Srival Bhagavatam is pointing out to us something important here, that Vritrasura's story is very special in the sense that what is that story? Story is this, that when distress comes in life, it is that distress is the process they have taken advantage of, like Chitrakedu. When in distress it happened, when excessive distress came in life, Chitrakedu utilized that and used it as a vehicle to go back to Krishna. So, and that is what we heard in the battlefield, what Vritrasura was saying to Indra. Isn't it? Vritrasura was saying to Indra, look at me, he said, you are a fool because you are looking for your Indra Padavi or position in the heavenly planets. Krishna gives it to you very happily, have it, you can have it. But I don't want that, he said. Na naga prashtam, na japarameshtim, na sarvabhavam, na rasadhivatyam, na yoga siddhi. None of them. I am not looking for anything. None of those things. Nagaprashta means the position of Indra, heavenly planets. Na parameshtim, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadivatyam, na yoga siddhi. None of them. Apunarbhavam va. Even another birth happens, I am not bothered about it. Samanjasatva virahaya gangshe. That Vritrasura's prayers is so pure. That is coming from a what Krishna calls later on as a pure devotee. Niravetsham unim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuprajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangri rendubi. So in that category, Vritrasura's prayers are, so like he spoke to Indra, the same thing he had to tell the whole world as well, that he says there, that personality, people like me, he says, who are completely interested only in Krishna and self-realization, that for us, normally Krishna does not give any happiness and give us trouble in that way. Because if there is happiness in life, there won't be any Krishna consciousness. It will be very, very difficult with happiness. With happiness means that you are busy with your family life and managing your estates or properties or whatever in this world and looking after your own wealth and family, children and grandchildren. That way life will go. Along with that, some bhakti also. But when excessive distress comes in life, that how Krishna retrieves them from that situation and bring them closer to Krishna. That's the way Krishna operates. And these are all examples in the Bhagavatam, whether it's Kunti Devi, whether it's Parikshit, whether it's Bhishma, or whether it's Ambarish, or anybody for that matter, all those devotees, they had to go through this process, that they had to accept a huge amount of distress in their life in order to get closer to Krishna. So Chitrakedu believed this after that experience with the death of his child. So the death of the child turned Chitrakedu's life. Up to a point, Chitrakedu kept on demanding, I need a son, I need this, I need that. But after that experience, that son was born and he died, and immediately Chitrakedu realized that he was foolish to pursue that route. So, and as soon as the child, he lost his child, it hit him very hard inside, Chitrakedu, hit him very hard. And only at that point, when you have such great distress in life, and if you are fortunate enough to get the association of personalities like Narada Maharshi, Angiras, or any advanced devotees like that, it will have its effect. It will work. And only those who have the who are fortunate, those jiva who are very, very fortunate in their life, they alone will get that association at that point when they have this
Sajjana Samsargam or the association with the pure devotees. When there is excessive distress in life, only those who are very fortunate will get that association. Otherwise, they will go and destroy themselves in this world somewhere. Later on in the, I mentioned last Sunday also, that story of the Kapotam and Kapoti, the birds living in the forest, and the hunter comes and traps them. And that kind of situation, Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava at that time, Uddhava, kham yadha idamalam vriksham. So that, just like you can see in the Bhagavadam, while talking about that, Uddhava, is that a very intelligent thing what that male bird has done? Kapodam and Kapodi story, actually Śuka Brahmarshi is not directly telling us. He is keeping us in his mind and he is talking through Kapodam and Kapodi. Kapodam and Kapodi is not an important thing. The householder and their family life here. Whole householder and his wife, whole life spent in looking after wife and children and family, and then grandchildren and their successive generations, whatever it may be. And in this way got attached to all of them and busy with it whole life. Śuka Brahmarshi is saying there, and Krishna is also saying to Uddhava, that is this something very laudable, or is this something appropriate to do after getting a human body to waste it like this, he says. So Narada Angiras came here, and one, a jiva who had that good fortune to go up in spiritual life, like our Chitragedu. Look at his good fortune. He was a king, he was very attached to family, and he had, with Krishna's grace or whatever, Angiras and Narada Maharshi came and visited and gave him a son, and the son died. And that distress was sufficient for Chitragetu to go up in the spiritual path. And he got that association of the devotees, and from then on his life was getting in the positive way. Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras came to the palace and pacified him. And what Narada Maharshi did was, just to pacify him, in front of Angiras and Chitragedu, Narada Maharshi called that jiva to come back, who died, that jiva in that body has left and gone. Sri Narada Maharshi, through his ability, because he's a great sage, he could do that he called that jiva back, and he invites him to come back, and he started talking to that jiva. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? If you could do that, to call somebody back who died and gone, ask him to come back, and then having a conversation with them. Says him, the Narada Maharshi calls him, Hey Jivalpa. That's how he calls him. There's no name, Hey Jivalpa. So the Jivalpa enters into the dead body of the baby, and the baby gets up. And the baby is asking, why have you called me back? Why have you called me back? Narada Maharshi says to the Jivalpa, he says to that baby, that little child, that can you not see your father and mother crying because you have left them, and without consoling them and giving them some peace in their life, you are going away like this? That's not correct. Sri Narada Maharshi says to that jiva, look at Narada Maharshi's words in the Bhagavadam, what he says. In the 16th chapter you will see this. Third verse, he says, second verse you can say, Sri Narada Vajam, Jeevalpan Pashyavadram De Madaram Bidaram Chade Sukhrudo Bandhavastatta Shujatul Kradaya Brisham Kalayabaram Samavishya Sheshamai Sukhrudvada Bhunkshabhoga and Pidra Pratana Dhidishta Nrupasanam. This is Narada Maharshi's words to that jiva. Narada Maharshi is having a conversation there with the jiva. So he says to him, so he says to the jiva, you know there is a throne waiting for you, and can you not see that empty lying there? The throne is lying empty there, and you have to sit there in that throne. When Chitrakedu leaves that place, you have to sit there. And can you imagine the opulences of this palace, what you are meant to enjoy, all the facilities in the palace? He says to him, why are you throwing it away all and walking away from here? And Sri Narada Maharshi started his instructions like this to that child. And that child, he puts his hand like this and says to Sri Narada Maharshi, can I ask you something? He said to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi says, go on. He said, so you have told me to pacify this father and mother here and forget about all my other things, throne and other opulences and facilities here. But that is prarabdham. Which one? The palace and the throne and all other comforts and happiness in this world. That's prarabdham. That if I don't get here, I'll get somewhere else. It does not matter where it is. That I'll do that. But my question here, he says here, what right do I have to pacify my father and mother? Father and mother pacifying, is that my business? He says to him. Look at that verse. What the jiva is saying, fourth verse. He says to him, jiva vacha kasyan janmanyam imahyam pitaro madaro bhavan karma brahmimanasya devadiryam yonisho kasmin janmanyam imahyam anyam imahyam pitaro madaro bhavan karma brahmimanasya devadiryam yonisho. Mayonishu, he says there. So, what is jiva saying here? That is important thing. That which of my lifetime I have to think they were my parents? Jiva is saying here. In which of my life they were my parents? I have to first think like that, he said. That many, many lifetimes before, I have left with many other parents, father and mother. First of all, I have not even pacified them. They are the last in the queue. This is the state. This is our state. In so many lifetimes, I had so many father and mother. And I was also father and mother to many people. Who has come and pacified me? Nobody. And I have not finished that queue which is there, starting from several lifetimes before. They are all lying there. After I finished with all of them, after pacifying all of them and satisfying them, then when Chitrakedu's turn comes, I'll come here. Before that, why should I do this? That means you're breaking the queue, isn't it? So he says to Maharshi, he says to Srinarada Maharshi, that Jivalma goes to different places, and it's already decided in that body, in every place, how long they have to live. Once their time is over, they leave. They don't have to stay. And I am flowing in that flow. This jiva is also flowing. This is a flow, actually. Life is nothing but a flow, going through so many different bodies, isn't it? And if you try to hold me back here and turn it back, it's not going to work. He says, it's not possible. Here, my lifespan is over. I'm going. I'm finished. I have nothing to do with them anymore. I'm finished with them. And similarly, like I spend my little time here, I have many other places to go. Similarly, and spend a little time in so many other parents, as children of other parents as well. And I'm now going, he said. And he left. And the child dropped dead, lying there. Jiva left. So, when this happened, Sri Narada Maharshi looked at Chitrakedu's face to see what the reaction is. You will see that in the Bhagavatam. That in the Shri Shuka Vacha, 12th verse. Itti dvijagado jivo nyadayastasya de tada vismira mumuju shogam chitualma sneha shringhalam. Just by this one incident, Chitrakedu's life turned. Finished with that. Sneha shringhalam broken. That chain of love, this is family life. This is all it means, nothing more to it than that. So, that there is no question about it, that there is not even a tinge of any attachment there in Chitrakedu's face now. Because Chitrakedu realized it, that he was foolishly keeping himself attached to this child. And the child has no attachment. Child is going, the child is more knowledgeable and has understanding that child is saying goodbye and gone, and he is holding on to it very tightly. Oh, it's my son, it's my son. Where is the son? This is the son, son gone. And so Chitrakedu came to his senses. He's become intelligent. He has started realizing that. So, normally our attitude is to keep holding on to it, isn't it? Material relationships, somehow or the other, if we'll try to hold on to that. Sri Narada Maharshi understood that Chitrakedu has managed to come out of it. Because he was intelligent, he was able to straight away understand that these relationships, that's all what it means. Nothing more to it than that. And then there was no delay anymore. When Narada Maharshi understood that, Chitrakedu is in the right frame of mind, he held his hand, told him, come with me, he said, took him to the forest. And there, going before that, he performed the ceremony, samskaras for the baby who died, and left the baby, and then straight away he sent him to Lord Balaram. Narada Maharshi sent him to Lord Balaram. You will see that in the 29th verse.
Tadak kadibaya hobir vidyaya dhamano gadi jagama deva devasya sheshasya charanandiyam.
Sheshasya charanandiyam means to Lord Balaram's lotus feet. Lord Balaram's lotus feet. Narada Maharshi sent him. How? He gave him this mantram. O namastubhyam bhagavade vasudevaya dhimahi pradyumnaya aniruddhaya namasangarshanaya cha. Four verses he instructed him. And told him that you go to the forest and perform these penances, chanting these, and then on the seventh day you will reach. 7 days and nights you continuously chant this, and you will reach the abode of Lord Balaram. It is a special ticket for Chitrakedu. But you can see the damage problem with that when you buy these special tickets. There's also a string attached to that. That's why he fell. But to show to us, personalities like Narada Maharshi can send you there. But without vasanas gone, if you go there, you'll go there and make some mistakes there. And then you'll come back. And that's what has happened to Chitrakedu. He says to him, so he went back to Sangarshanamurti, Balaram. And Sri Shiva Brahmashri says to Parikshit, that you see there that in that verse, you'll see...
Sa ittham pradibuddhalma, 15th verse. Sa ittham pradibuddhalma, chitragedur dvijokti bhi, grihandagupam nishkrandam, sarapangadivadvibha.
So, pangadivadvibha. This is the capabilities of the devotees. They can, somebody who is drowning in the mud, or in a pool of mud, and who is going down and down, a jiva, they are capable of taking them out from there and bring them and put them in front of Krishna. They can do that. The devotees can do that, like Narada Maharshi has done. That they give this example that elephants, when they like sometimes lying in the mud. Water and the muddy muddy, earth is very muddy. They like lying in there because it gives them some comfort for their thick skin when it rubs with the mud and the water. But when they have to be taken for processions and all that, the mahout will go and tell them to get up and come. So similarly, when jivas are busy in maya with so much rubbish, whatever we are doing here, and we are completely absorbed in that, a pure devotee like Sri Narada Maharshi will come and take you out from here by chance and then send you back to right straight to Krishna. He can do that. So so at that time, even though you are lying in the mat, you are busy in the maya, that somehow or the other you will leave everything and go with him, because that's due to the mercy of Sri Narada Maharshi. So similarly, personalities, that's not for everybody. It's only for some persons, like Sri Narada Maharshi has the got that capacity to do that. And Narada Maharshi can change people from a very fallen state to a very higher state. They can elevate them very easily. And that is what has happened here. That's what has happened with Chitraketu. Chitraketu, although he had become renounced after the death of his child, the vasanas inside has not gone. The vasanas are still there. So when Sri Narada Maharshi sent him to Sankarsana Murthy, what happened was, when he saw Sankarsana Murthy, he glorified Sankarsana Murthy very well. And that glorification, because this Sankarsana Chitraketu had a taste for music. He had a taste for music. That is why all those verses which Chitraketu recited in front of Sankarsana Murthy or Balaram is very musical. It is sung in a very musical way. So, so great personalities who glorifies Krishna through music, musicians in other words, and it is similar to that, the Sankarsana Murthy, Chitraketu's glorification. It's like a flow of music, those verses. Ajida Jida, it begins like that, that verses. So, when he glorified like this with music, Lord Sankarsana, Balaram, heard it very nicely and he was impressed by his musical taste. And he thought that this person seems to be very musically oriented, and therefore he decided that if I give him an opportunity to sing the glories of Krishna, it will be a good thing because he can sing very well. And thinking like that, Chitraketu was given a position of Vidyadhara. Vidyadharas are those, among the Gandharvas, they are one category, Vidyadharas, among the Gandharvas. And these Vidyadharas, they are experts in singing, and they travel, they have given a, Lord Sankarsana has given them a ticket to travel all over the universe. Wherever they like, they can travel. To that extent, they can travel freely, and he also given them a group of women to sing with him, a kind of a musical band. Chitraketu started traveling. And Sankarsana Murthy, it is arrangement from Balaram. Balaram arranged this for Chitraketu and told him that you can go wherever you like, in anybody's, in heavenly planets, Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet, and perform your musical concerts wherever you want to do it. And in that free license given to him, and so that started, with Chitraketu started that. And it is in that incident, that once, that he arrived in Kailasam, Lord Shiva's abode, where he got there. And Shiva Brahmarshi says there that that is where our Chitraketu made the blunder. And he got his ticket to become Rudrasura from there, from Shiva's abode. From Shiva's abode. That Sri Parvati was sitting in Lord Shiva's lap. And Lord Shiva was instructing the rishis, sages there, about the transcendental knowledge on the spiritual life, what their questions were being answered. Shiva was answering them, and Chitrakedu saw that, and because he is conditioned in one way here, living here in this, he thought, is this Lord Shiva? He says, what kind of person is he? He says, he says to him, something is spoken there in a bit of a, not in a very respectful way, not knowing who Shiva is or Sri Parvati is. He started to think, because by now he has been elevated, his ahankaram also you can see there, that vasanas have not gone, you see. So that is why they say that if you go without all the vasanas gone from here, there's a possibility you will go and do something there and come back here again. We'll end up back here again. So that is why these are exceptional cases like Chitrakedu. It's an exceptional case. So therefore what happened was that seeing this Chitrakedu's mood and the way he spoke there, Sri Parvati saw this and told him that you are a little bit too proud. Ahankaram is too much, he said to her. She said to him, so you shouldn't be in this body, he said. She says to him, you shouldn't be in this body. This is a naturally an asuric nature. Asura sabhavam it is. So become an asura, told him. Go from here. Become an asura, he said. And left him. And then Sri Parvati merely felt that it was a little bit heavy punishment to give it to Chitrakedu. So what Sri Parvati did was, she told him that, okay, I have cursed you now, but if you want the relief from that curse, ask for it, then I will give it to you to come out of this curse. Because she was in the heat of the moment that she spoke a little harshly to him like that. So, I only spoken like that, Sri Parvati told him, that I didn't want you to get too proud because of your position and the way you have spoken. So, while calling him, my dear son, that's how Parvati Devi addressed him. My dear son, she said to him, that, and then when she called him like that, it hit Chitrakedu, felt that she is, as a mother, she is showing that motherly feeling and speaking like that. So, he addresses her as mother and answers at that time. You'll see there in the Bhagavatam. In the next chapter, I think the 17th chapter, it comes. If you look at the 17th chapter, you will see there. Adha papiyasim Sri Parvati vacha. 15th verse. Adha 17th chapter. Adha papiyasim yonim asurim yahi durmate yadeha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra gilbisham. Nakarta putra gilbisham. Adha papiyasim yoni asurim yahi durmate yadeha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra gilbisham. So there is affection there in Sri Parvati's words, but at the same time she has already spoken to become a asura, to become a devotion, to become a demon. So when Chitrakedu is replying, he is also replying in the same way, like the son. Pradigrah Chitrakedu vacha, 17th verse. Pradigrahanamite shapam atmano anjalina ambige. Deiver martyayal proktam purvadishtam hitasyatal. And then few verses from Chitrakedu with his realizations, he is saying there. Samsara jakramedaspin jandura jnanamo hitaha brahmin sukham dukha sukham ja dukham ja bhunte sarvatra sarvada. Naiva almana parashchabi karta syal sukha dukha yoho karta ramanyade prajna almanam paramevaja. Guna pravahamedasmin kashava konya nugraha kaswargona regakova kim sukham dukhamevava mevacha egasrajati bhudani bhagavana alpama eya esham bandang jamokshanja sukham dukham janishkala. These are all very important words in the sense that Chitrakedu says to Sri Parvati that I don't take it as a curse. What you have given to me, I don't take it as a curse, because he says there that I only take it as that you have given me some nectar. You have given me some nectar. Because kubutro jayed kujit abhi kumada na bhavadi. It is like this. Kuputro. Kuputro means bad children may be there. But kumata na bhavadi. Mother is never bad. Mother is always wishing the best for the child. Is it not? Child sometimes may not have that loyalty. Or may not think about the mother in the same way. Quite often it is like that. The children may not have this feeling for the mother. It happens. But mother is always a well-wisher of the child. That's why. Kwajid abhi kumar kuputro jayeda kwajid abhi kumada na bhavadi. Kumada na bhavadi. Bad mother doesn't exist. Bad son may exist. So therefore, when the child is doing some mischief, the mother may say something or do something, but behind that the motive is always good. Because of the mother's feeling for the child. Mother wants the best for the child. The child should go in the right direction and corrects the child in that way. So, I'm only seeing that kindness or compassion in the mother in your words. This is how Chitraketu, without offending Sri Parvati, spoke like this. That I take it, whatever you have done for me is for my benefit. Chitraketu's words to Sri Parvati. Saying to her, that I take it that you only have good intentions. For my benefit you have done this. In this way, Chitraketu spoke to Sri Parvati. You will see that verse there in the 20th verse, 17th chapter. 20th verse, that's what it is.
Atmanandana bhutyevam.
So, 17th chapter, 20th verse. Gunapravaham
etasmin ko kashava ko nu anugraha ka swargo naraga ko akim sukham dukham evacha egasrajadi bhudani bhagavan alpamaya esham bandanja mokshanja. Sukham dukham janashkala na dasya kaschiddhaida pradibo na jnadi bandurna paro na jaswa samasya sarvatra niranjanasya sukhena raga kuta eva roshaha tada vida chakti visargamesham sukhaya dukhaya hidahidaya bandaya mokshaya ja mrtyu janmano sharirinam samsrada eva kalpade adha prasadayena tvam shapa mokshaya bhamini Yanmanyase asadoktam mamadal chamyadam sadi.
That is how Chitraketu spoke.
Yanmanyase asadoktam mamadal chamyadam sadi.
Chitraketu says to Sri Parvati that if I have spoken something and if you felt that it was offensive, forgive me for that. Chitraketu was very, very polite and accepted the words from Sri Parvati. And he said to her that I am not asking for any forgiveness because there must be some reason why you have said this to me. I look at that reason that why this happened to me. There must be a reason behind it for to make you to speak like this to me, to become a demon. So I will rather accept that prarabdham rather than trying to go against the prarabdham. This is Dhritarashtra's words, he says to him. Because that is when his philosophical understanding, this is why tatvajnanam is necessary. Look at the way he solved the problem. He's saying to him, happiness and distress, hell and heaven, and good and bad, right and wrong, all these things are dualities in this world. Is it not? They are all dualities in this world. Whereas the world itself is not real. Chitraketu is saying, the world itself is not real and we have created this, what we call Dvaitam, in this world, isn't it? So, Chitraketu's strength of that philosophical conviction you can see there in that verses. He's saying, nothing is real here, the world is not real and in that world, you are saying this is right and this is wrong, and this is good and this is bad. It is called dvandva. This is dvaidam. Dvaidam creates this problem. You know this problem is everywhere, in everything. Dvaidam's difficulty is this, that none of them affects me, my dear mother, he says to her. And because in this flow of life, from one body to another body to another body, there must be some prarabdham in me to become a demon. It must be there in my account somewhere. And only thing is, you have seen that before and you have made that for me. You have created that for me to get through this. And actually I should be thankful to you to finish that up in this body. The Uttarasura's body. This is how Chitrakedu responded. You can see this. You see, when you study these personalities like Chitrakedu, and when they speak, you can see where it's coming from. The depth of their understanding, which we don't see normally. Isn't it? Here, our situation is like this. When we have a problem, we go and fight it out all the way through, thinking that we could solve the problem. And if it doesn't work out, then we will leave everything. So here Chitrakedu's understanding, he's saying to her that somewhere this sukham dukham or happiness distress, what is happiness distress? Happiness distress in the Vishnu Puranam, Parashara Maharshi says, happiness distress is nothing but hell and heaven, or heaven and hell. What is heaven and hell? Heaven and hell is nothing but your pious activities and sinful activities. So, pious activities and sinful activities is called heaven and hell, and it is heaven and hell is what is called happiness and distress. That's all. Nothing more to it than that. This is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, Parashara Maharshi says in the Vishnu Purana. That's the whole words about that. So, he says to him that I am very happy that you have helped me to complete this cycle. As much as I have to go through all this. And I'm taking it that if these words has to come from you, there must be some strong prarabdha behind it. That's why it has come through you to me now. And I'm accepting it happily. I don't want to come out of it. I want to go through it. So that's finished. Then, so that is showing that Dhritarashtra's nature. You can see like this, for example, generally in this world, people will always say this question, that chicken or egg, which is first, isn't it? This question is very well known. Chicken or egg? Which was first? Chicken came from the egg or egg came from the chicken? So, this question, generally you don't get an answer to that. Is it not? You don't get an answer to that question. Why? Because it is the same thing what Chitrakedu is saying here. This chicken and egg in the Vedanta, Brahma Sutra Bhashya, Acharya Swamiji mentions there, he gives another example, the tree and the seed. Which was there first? Was the tree there first or the seed was there first? If you put this question normally any person in this world, they will not be able to answer. They will say there is no answer to that question. Because without the seed, the tree cannot come. And without the tree, the seed cannot come. Is it not? This is called Maya. This is Maya. Why is it Maya? Let's understand that. You see, if you cut the tree and leave it, what will happen to the tree? Tree will become, one day get dissolved in the earth. It will become earth. Similarly, if you destroy that seed also and leave it there, seed will also become earth one day. So actually, neither the tree exists nor the seed exists. What exists is only the earth. The earth is transformed into the tree or the seed. Similarly, chicken and egg does not exist. If you kill the chicken and leave it, it will become earth one day. The body will turn to earth. Similarly, if you throw the egg somewhere, the egg will also become, if the earth doesn't, the eggs are not roosted, then the eggs will also become earth. So, we are asking a question which itself is wrong. Because what exists is only the earth. And in two different forms, it comes in front of us. One in the form of chicken, other one in the form of egg. One in the form of tree, other one in the form of the seed. One in the form of father, other in the form of the son. And then you are asking, who is first? Neither of them, neither father, son, nor the egg and the chicken, nor the tree and the seed. Only what exists, only the earth exists. Similarly, five material elements exist. But beyond that, we can't say anything else existing. Other things are all... This is how Maya tricks us. Maya puts always two things in front of you. Like in the form of father and son, or mother and son, or tree and the seed, or chicken and the egg, and asking us which one is first. What can answer? The question is wrong. The question itself is wrong. That is what this is. And that is the role of Maya, how to confuse us in this world with various ways, good and bad, right and wrong, happiness and distress, and hell and heaven. These are all Maya's creation to confuse us in this world, and we get trapped in that. We get trapped in that. So, whereas Chitrakedu is saying to Sri Parvati that it does not bother me because these things don't exist anyway. Asuran, Devam, Asuram, the demigod and the demon, that is also creation of this. What actually exists is only Atma. Atma is one form you are calling demigod, another form you are calling Asura. Neither of them are real. Neither of them are real. So, so what did he do? What did Chitrakedu do? Chitrakedu says to Sri Parvati that this duality does not affect me. I have gone beyond than that. Krishna says, have you noticed in the Bhagavadam? Why does he say, if in the 28th chapter, if you look, 11th canto, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet. Why? This is the reason. Then if you start glorifying somebody, or if you start criticizing somebody, dvaidam will come straight away. Parasubhava karmani subhavam karmam na prashamsadi na nindadi. Vishwam egalpagam bhashyan prakritya purushenaja. There is only one thing, Atma. All other things are false. And therefore, once you create dvaidam, then you will have ragadvesham straight away. You will say, this is good friend of mine, he is my friend, the other person is my enemy. It will come. This has to come. Friend and enemy comes from this. So that is why dvaidam creates problem. Dvaidam means ragadvesham. Ragadvesham must be there if there is dvaidam. Krishna says in the 28th chapter later on, kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiel vajodidam tadamrudam manaso dhyadam eva va. Then everything what you are talking with your mouth and what you are saying from your mind is all false. Because vajodidam tada anurdam is all a lie. Manaso dhyatam evava. It's coming from your mind. That means, if it's coming from the mind, it means it's dvaidam. Dvaidam will be there. So he's saying, kim badram kim abadram va. What's right and wrong in all these things? So Krishna, you can see, never gave any value to dvaidam. All the time he rejected dvaidam. And even while talking to Arjuna, this is what happened in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He says to Arjuna, you're talking like a learned scholar. But you don't seem to have any knowledge, he said to him. So similarly, here also, you can see Chitrakedu had that understanding because Sri Narada Maharshi has given him that very well and he has accepted it. So therefore, when Sri Parvati cursed him, it did not disturb his mind. It did not disturb his mind. He says that you are telling me all these things. It does not bother me, he said. And maybe in my this flow of through till I get realized who I am completely, I will have to go through sometimes as a demon, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a human being. I've finished through a human being body in the Chitrakedu. Now the next prarabdham for me is to go through a demon's body. I'll go through that. But none of these is the real solution to the problem. Chitrakedu was so clear in his head, and that is why he refused for any kind of asking for forgiveness or anything like that. And he says here that even though such a heavy curse was given to him, in front of Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati he stood up, and without saying anything or asking for apology or giving asking for forgiveness or apologizing anything. All he said to her was, you have done me a favor. Because in my prarabdham, there must be somewhere to be an asura for some time. I will accept that. And you have done me a favor by saying this. This is how he replied to Sri Parvati. And Shiva and Parvati were sitting there. When Shiva heard this, he was impressed by his philosophical understanding. So he says to him that Lord Shiva congratulating him, saying that this Chitraketu is a proper devotee. He says he paid his respects to Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, but he does not want anything to get interfere in his prarabdham. If there is a prarabdham like that, I'm not going to bow down in front of the prarabdham and ask you for any release from the prarabdham. I'm accepting that, but I pay my respects to you. That is how he left Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati. They appreciated. If you have to understand this, you have to understand what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham. That is why Dvaitam won't help us. Dvaitam will create this problem all the time. Dvaitam means Ragadvesham will be there. Has to be there. So Chitraketu has gone beyond Dvaitam. He says to him that all these things, Nanma, Gunam, good and bad, Ragam, Dvesham, and similarly the happiness and distress and hell and heaven, these things are not even real. They are not real things. Because the world itself is not real. How you say all these things is real then? So when it is like that, when the world is not real, these dualities are within this world. Is it not? All these dualities are within this world. So if the world is not real, how can they be real? That was his question. So after saying this, when he said that, Lord Shiva says, Mahalpim Vishnu Bhaktanam, Krishna's devotee's glory. Lord Shiva says there, in the 40th verse, I think, in this, Itihasam, that chapter is finishing like that. Itihasam imam punyam, chitragedor mahalpmana, mahalpmim vishnu bhaktanam, shrutva bandad vimuchyate. Ya edal pradaruthaya shraddhaya vagyada padail, itihasam harim smrutva sayadi paramam gadim. Srimad Bhagavatam, there Shishobhama Maharshi gives a special benediction there. One who studies this itihasam, this story of Chitraketu, Harim Smritva, he will go back to Godhead. Sayadi Paramangadim says here. You can see in there Chitraketu speaking from a very deep understanding. He's saying verses 18, 19, 20 and 21. Four verses. Chitraketu's deep realizations. In four verses he said that to Sri Parvati. He says, Samsara chakram edasmin jendu ajnana mohidaha brahmyan sukham ja dunkham ja bhunte sarvatra sarvada naiva alpana varashchavi kartasyal sukadukhayoho kartaram manyade aprajna alpmanam paramevacha gunapravaham edasmin ka shabam ko anugraham ko swargo naragam. Kova kim sukham dukham evacha. What does it all mean? He says to him, Ega srajati bhudani bhagavan alpamaya. There is only one thing here, alpa, nothing else. Esham, therefore, bandham cha moksham cha sukham dukham cha nashkala. They have no meaning, all these things. Krishna says all these things in detail to Uddhava later in the Ekadasham. So, this is how we study Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam, in different places, different personalities will speak that message straightforward according to their realizations. That is when you notice that what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandham, is applied in life by devotees and how they utilized it when they needed it. When you need that knowledge, it should come to your help. Otherwise, what is the use? Simply reading the book and says, Prabhupada said this, saying to everybody is not going to help. It has to come to our own life and it has to become part of our own understanding. When there is a crisis comes in life, we should be able to recite those verses and say to ourselves that what is happening here, and able to not get affected, keep that shanti inside. He's inside. Otherwise, you couldn't say that to say everything that it is in the book, chapter number, verse number, quoting that and telling people that this is chapter number, this is a verse number, but not knowing what is what meant by that. What's the use of saying that? So that's the same thing here, that Chitraketu, have you, says to her that Shriva, he says to her that, have you seen the glory of the devotees? Lord Shiva says to Sri Parvati that even Lord Shiva spoke to Sri Parvati in front of other rishis who were present there, say, everywhere, and he glorified Chitraketu. Chitraketu is that philosophical conviction, understanding. Krishna is more pleased when he sees that in somebody. Not by all the ghilams what you have offered. That's all secondary thing. When that realization comes from a devotee, it pleases Krishna. And similarly with Shiva also. So many instances you will see if you read Bhagavatam. What actually pleases Krishna? That how you are able to deal with the situation when you have understood the reality, and that realization is acting in a person at the appropriate time when it's needed. Most of us, what we do is when we have trouble, we go to Krishna and complain everything about life. And then Krishna says, oh, this has become a real burden. This man is not going to leave me. And he has to give everything what we are asking for. If he gives everything what we have asked for, then we are happy with him. Otherwise, we go, what kind of devotee is that? He doesn't want such devotees also. He wants people like Chitraketu, who even in spite of giving all the problems in life, Dhritarashtra's body was given to him, Chitraketu says, I'll accept it. He says, I'm not bothered, because that's my prarabdham. I'm willing to take it on board and go through this, because if I finish that, I can go back to Krishna one day, if I finish my prarabdham. This is Chitraketu's understanding. That's only possible because of Srinarada Maharshi's teaching. Remember, when he was Chitraketu earlier as a king, what happened? Angiras, the two people, Angiras and Narada Maharshi, instructed them the Vedantam, Vedanta philosophy. If you remember a few verses before, in the, that is why this Chitraketu Vyakhyanam is an important subject in the sixth canto. You will see there, Chitraketu's prayer is also very famous to Sankarsana, Lord Balaram. That is in the 16th chapter, from verse 34 to 43. That is why finally he concludes, Bhumandalam sarshapaya diyasya murdhni tasmai namo bhagavadestu sahasramurdhni. Why those prayers are important is, if you look when he spoke to Sankarsana Murti, to Lord Balaram, Sankarsana is Lord Balaram, when he spoke to Lord Balaram says to him, that's there he calls it a Shri Bhagavan Vacha, verse 50, 51 and all that. Now he says here that Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras, that what they have instructed you, he's saying, they have instructed you to Chitraketu. Sankarsana Murti is saying, Samsiddhosi Tayarajan Vidya Darshanachame. It's only because they have given you this special offer that you have got to see me. Otherwise you won't see me. It was a special concession given to you to come and see me. Then he says, Aham vai sarva bhudani bhudalma bhudabhavana shabda brahma param brahma mamo bheshashwadi tanu. I have two sides to me. One is shabda brahmam, other one is parabrahmam. Parabrahmam is the one, the manifestations. Shabda brahmam is the sound incarnation of Krishna. So he's saying like this, that Shabda Brahma Parambrahma Mamobhe Shashuri Tanu. I have these two sides to it. And then those discussions between Chitraketu and Sankarsana Murti is important. Another side to it. And then prior to that, in the 15th chapter, when Narada Maharshi and Angiras came together to instruct them, isn't it? Instruct them at that time what they spoke to him, what they spoke to Chitraketu, that is Atmatattvam was instructed to him. That means the knowledge of the soul. That is what you find in the first 8 verses in the 15th chapter. They are all important verses. When you study these verses, and then when you go back to Ekadasha Skandam and see how Krishna's instructions they have taken and translated into their own life, and they took advantage of it, and they completely benefited from that. So that is the way to study in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If and there are so many things there where he says to him that Angiras Maharshi and Sri Narada Maharshi, here Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is quoting that what they have told him, isn't it? And who else went there? Vasishta was there. Four Kumaras. Who else do you need apart from these personalities? Angiras, Devala Maharshi, Asita, Apandra Tamas, Vedavyas, Markandeya, Gautama, Vasishta, Bhagavan Rama, Parashuram, Kapila Maharshi, Badarayani, Shiva Brahmarshi himself got there, Durvasav, Yajnavalkya Maharshi. All these personalities are present there. It's a, and that is what it is spoken there. So, when messages like that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, if you go through them in detail, and then go back to Ekadasham and see what Krishna had to say to Uddhava. So then you see that they are all the same thing, same message coming from, through different faces it's coming out. So, there Narada Maharshi and Angiras and other Rishis were present. Narada Maharshi and Angiras spoke, others didn't speak. Because Chitragetu was a great devotee, he was a good person. No question about that. He was a very good person. But good person doesn't mean he won't commit mistakes. You shouldn't think like that. Suppose somebody is good, you shouldn't say, oh, he is good. No, just because he is good doesn't mean he is in ignorance also. Goodness, good me, does not mean that he won't commit mistakes. He has committed mistakes. Chitraketu, you can see that. Got attached to the sun, I want the sun, I want the sun, without that I am not going to live. That is all Ajnanam inside. Avidya it is. So, therefore, the Rishis had to come and give them the knowledge, give him the knowledge. And the result was that, that he got released from that ignorance. Ignorance has to go. Not the good and bad are all dualities, dundumitis, dvaitam. So, that won't help. Somebody sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. So, how can you say somebody is good or bad? This good and bad are all relative things. Knowledge is more appropriate thing to say. So, that Chitraketu Subhagyanam, with that, the sixth canto is almost finished with that. Ajamila story, important. We saw the story of Ajamila. We also saw the story of Indra, how he got involved with Vishwarupa, Tvashtav, Brihaspati. Brihaspati insulted, Vishwarupa he killed, and then Vritrasura, again he has killed him, and Tvashtav created this Vishwarupa, Vritrasura to kill Indra, and that somehow or the other Indra managed to escape from all the situations, but by and large Indra's mentality you could see through all the things, and then now finally the Chitraketu story. So these 3-4 episodes in the sixth canto mainly. And all it is indicating to us is what is called Poshanam. Krishna's that special way of protecting a devotee who has taken his proper shelter. Ajamila took a proper shelter, therefore he was protected. Chitraketu took a proper shelter eventually. So distress has come in Ajamila's life as well as in the Chitraketu's life. But they didn't give up Krishna consciousness. They survived through all that. That is the success. Whereas Indra had all the goodness and everything, but bhakti wasn't there. He was lacking that. He's still getting attached to his own position in the heavenly planets. That's what he's saying here. So you can see Chitraketu's. Have you seen the glory of Chitraketu? Shiva says to everybody who are present there, that even though Sri Parvati has gone against her, against him, when she cursed him, isn't it? Even then, he is not affected. Chitraketu is not affected by that. He was willing to take on. And he said, carry on, whatever you want to curse me, he said. It doesn't bother. I'm not bothered. That attitude. And this is the glory of the devotee. Shiva says to Sri Parvati at that time. And so that you can see in the 28th verse in the 17th chapter. 28th verse.
Narayana para sarge sarve nakudaschana bibhyadi sorgam abavargana reyeshua abituliyartha darshinaha.
That's what that word.
Narayana para sarve nakudaschana bibhyadi sorgabavargana regesh abituliyartha darshinaha.
Sorgam naragam is all equal for them. For the devotee, it's all equal. There's no one, not one is better than the other. Whereas we will say Surgam is best, Naragam is hell.
No, Surgan, Surgaba, Surga, Abavarga, Narageshwabi, Tulyartha Darshina.
Tulyartha Darshina means equally they are situated. They are not, because as they know very well, the Surgam, Naragam is also within the jurisdiction of Maya. Isn't it? It is not like spiritual world. It is within the jurisdiction of Maya is this Surgam, Naragam, all that. Similar, like the earthly planet, everything what's happening is three modes of nature. The same three modes of nature in the heavenly planets also. Same three modes of nature is in the hellish planets also. So, unless we come out of these three modes of material nature, you couldn't say that you are freed from the grips of Prakriti. You are still under the grips of Prakriti. Whereas you will say you go to heavenly planets, at least you can get there. That's not good enough. But it's not freeing from the. So that's why saying Narayana para sarve na kudaschana vibhyadi sorga abavarga narageshu abhi tulyartha darshina. Tulyartha darshina, equal vision. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya vinaya sambhane brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. That samadarshitam in all states. So that is what that is. That's what he's saying here. And Shatrobi, Shatrorabi Brahmama Alase Gadapadamte, that the in the Naranyam when it was spoken, Melbadur said to the Krishna that Melbadur says to Krishna that
Vritrasura, sorry. Nisambramastvayamayachidashabhamoksho vrutrasurattamubagamya surendrayodhi bhaktyatmatattvakathane samare vichitram shatroravibhramam apasegadapadamte.
This is Melpatur's words while talking to Krishna. He says to him,
Nisambramastvayamayachidashabhamoksho.
When shabham was given and then moksham was offered, he would not accept that. Neither shabham nor moksham. He is not bothered.
Nisambhramam. He has no confusion in his mind. Stoyam ayachida shabham moksho vrutrasuratam ubagamya surendrayodhi.
And Vrutrasura was not interested in any position either. That purified person, Vrutrasura. Even though in the Vrutrasura's body, how pure he was in consciousness. That's why he said there, isn't it? Na naga prashtam na japarameshtim, na sarvabhomam narasadivatim, all those things.
Bhakti atma tattva kathanei samarei vijitram.
Melpatur said to Krishna, your devotee's history is very amazing, he said. They are a very amazing type of people.
Bhakti atma kathanei samarei vijitram.
The way they deal with the situation, they are different than others.
Why? Shatrorabhi brahmam apasya gada padam de. Shatrorabhi brahmam apasya gada padam de.
Then, even if you want to make them as your enemy, you can't make them. They are such personality, that devotee's purity inside.
Vrutrasura, Sri Parvati cursed him, and she thought probably he will react to it heavily.
That he could have cursed her even in some form, but he didn't. He accepted that wholeheartedly without saying one word. And Melpatu said to Krishna,
Bhakti alpa dhattu kathane samare vijitram.
That their position is unbelievable. Because they have that higher realization of the soul, alma inside, when they speak and when they do things, it's totally different than others. That is the beauty. That is what Melpatu said to Krishna at that time. So, that
demigods are completely impressed by Chitrakedu's realizations. Says to him, even they were shocked seeing Chitrakedu's attitude. Then Chitrakedu accepted Urdhrasura's body, saying that Sri Parvati cursed me, fine, it must be my prarabdham. It's sad, I have to go through this, but it is distress, isn't it? Through that distress, Chitrakedu took advantage of it and went back to Krishna. Because when there is distress in life, you will open your eyes and see things properly. When everything is going very well, you can't see things properly. You'll always think, I'm all right, Jack. Let others suffer, so what? It's their karma, it's not my problem. This will come. It's difficult to come out of that. That's a human nature, isn't it? Whereas when it hits you directly, when you are in trouble, or any one of us are in trouble, then only we'll open and start seeing things properly. Then, so therefore, that is why in the Bhagavatam, when he said that all these different emotions, like hate, anger, these are all vehicle to go back to Krishna, if you can utilize it properly, when they come, when they happen. So here, that Chitrakedu gone through that distress heavily. Urdhrasura's body, he had to suffer. But he did not give up his Krishna consciousness because of that. And finally, he has gone back to Krishna. He's gone back to Krishna. And with that, Shiva Brahma, she finishes the Chitrakedu story. And now, why did this all was spoken? Because earlier you remember that Dasha Prajapati, then Aditi, Didi, the daughters, they were all married to Kashyapa Prajapati. And from there, these two parambara came, Devas and the Asuras, the demons and the demigods. So it is in that process that this story has come. Vritrasura's story had come because of that, isn't it? Remember, that's how, if you go back to the beginning when we started saying this, isn't it? Now, before finishing this canto, one more incident what happened, because two personalities here are important. One is Aditi and the other one is Didi. Husband is the same, Kashyapa Prajapati. So, Kashyapa Prajapati has got Aditi Devi and Didi Devi, two wives. And children, one children from Aditi Devi are the demigods, children from the Didi Devi are the demons. And they are fighting each other. So imagine the father's situation. So, now one more incident, what happened in that householder life, Kashyapa Prajapati's householder life, that is the next story in the Bhagavatam. Two more chapters, and with that six canto finishes there. Let's read those two chapters and then we will talk about that. Shri Swami mentions here, Adityanam Chaturthasya. This is the 18th chapter. Adityanam Chaturthasya Toshtur Vamsha Prasangada Proktam Indragadam Visharuba Vritravadhadigam. Aditi's 12 children, while talking about them, the fourth one is Toshtava. Aditi's child, this Toshtava is. And it is Toshtav's parambara or family, what we have discussed, and that is where Vishwarupa and Vritra and all, they came in. And Indra killed them. Adide Panjam Adhinam Putranam Anya Yoktibi Ashtadashe Didir Garbe Shakrena Madhidam Bhida. So Aditi's fifth child, and that is being spoken now. And then in Didi's womb, how Marudevas appeared there and Indra killed them, tried to kill them. And that is this chapter, 18th chapter. Marudevas story. Who are these Marudevas? That's all you will see here in this chapter, 18th and 19th. 18th and 19th. श्री शुकवाजा प्रश्निष्टो पत्नी सवितु सावित्रीं व्याकृतिं त्रयीं అగ్నిహోత్రం పశుం సోమం చాదుర్మాస్యం మహామకాన్ సిద్ధిర్భగస్య భార్య అంగం మహిమానం విభుం ప్రభుం ఆశిషం జవరారోహం కన్యాం ప్రాసూద సుమ్రదాం ధాదుకూహు సినీవాలిరాకా చనుమతిస్తథ సాయం దర్శమద ప్రాద పూర్ణమాసమనుక్రమాల్. అగ్నిం పురీష్యానాథ తక్రియాయాం సమనందర చర్షణీ వరుణస్యాసీద్యస్యాం చాతో భృగుప్పునాం వాల్మీకిశ్చ మహాయోగి వల్మీవాదభవల్కిల అగస్త్యశ్చ వసిష్ఠశ్చ మిత్రావరుణయోర్కృషి రేజస్సుషిజద కుంభే ఉర్వశ్యా సన్నిధౌ ధృదం రేవత్యాం మిత్రముల్సర్గం అరిష్టం విపలం వ్యథాల్. పౌలోమ్యం ఇంద్రమాధత్త త్రీన్ పుత్రానిది నశ్రుతం జయందమృషభం తాదత్రదీయం ఈరుషం ప్రభు. ఉరుక్రమస్య దేవస్య మాయావామనరూపిణ కీర్తోపత్న్యాం బృహశ్లోకస్తస్యాసన్ సౌభగాదయా. తల్కర్మగుణవీర్యాణి కాశ్యవస్య మహాల్మన పశ్చాద్వక్ష్యామహే ఆదిత్యాం యథా వావదతార. అథ కశ్యపదాయాదన్ వైదేయాన్ కీర్తయామి తే యత్ర భాగవత శ్రీమాన్ ప్రహ్లాదో బలిమేవ చ. ద్వావ్యవదవయాదౌ దైత్యదానవ వందితౌ హిరణ్యకశిపుర్నామ హిరణ్యాక్షశ్చ ప్రకీర్తితౌ. హిరణ్యకశిపోర్భార్య కయాధుర్నామ దానవీ జంభస్య తనయా దత్త సుషువే చతురస్వదాన్. సంహ్లాదం ప్రాగనుహ్లాదం హ్లాదం ప్రహ్లాదమేవ చ. తల్స్వసా సింహికా నామ రాహుం విప్రచ్చిదో గ్రహీల్. శిరోహరద్యస్య హరిశ్చక్రేణ పిబదో మృదం సంహ్లాదస్య కృతిర్భార్యాం స్మృతి స్మృతి పశ్చజనం తథా. హ్లాదస్య సమనుర్భార్యాస్తద వాదోపి విల్వలం యోగ అస్యాయ త్వదితయే చ పోచే అతుదితయే పేచే వాదాపి ఇల్వల. అనుహ్లాదస్య సూర్మ్యాయం భాష్కరో మహిషస్తద విరోచనస్తు ప్రహ్లాదిర్ దేవ్యాస్తస్యాభవద్బలిం. బాణజ్యేష్టం పుత్రశతం అశనాయాం తదో భవల్ తస్యానుభావసు శ్లోక్య పశ్చాదేవాభిదాస్యదే. బాణమారాధ్యగిరిశం లేభే తల్గుణముఖ్యదాం యల్పార్శ్వే భగవానాస్తే అద్యాభిపురపాలగా. మరుదశ్చదిదే పుత్ర చత్వారింశన్నవాధిక త ఆసన్న ప్రజా సర్వే నీతా ఇంద్రేణ సత్వదాం. రాజోవాచ కథం తమాసురం భావమహ్యోల్పౌత్యం ఔల్పత్యం గురో ఇంద్రేణ ప్రావిదాసాల్ప్యం కిం తల్ సాధుకృతం హితై. ఇమే శ్రద్ధదే బ్రహ్మన్ ఋషయో హి మయా సహ పరిజ్ఞానాయ భగవం తన్నో వ్యాఖ్యాతుమర్హసి. శ్రీసూత ఉవాచ తద్విష్ణురాధస్య సుబాధరాయణిర్వచో నిశమ్యార్థమల్పమర్థవల్ సభాజయన్ సంవృదేన చేదస జగాద సత్రాయణ సర్వదర్శన. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ హతపుత్రాదిశక్రాపార్ష్ణిగ్రాహేణ విష్ణునా మనినా శోకదీప్తేన జ్వలంతి పర్యచిందయల్ కదానుభ్రాతృహంగారమింద్రియారామముల్బణం అక్లిన్న హృదయం పాపం ఖాదయిత్వా శయే సుఖం. కృమివిల్భస్వ సంన్యాసీద్యశేషాభిహిదస్య చ భూతదృత్తల్కృతే స్వార్థం కిం వేద నిరయోయత. ఆశాసనస్య దస్యేదం ద్రోమున్నద్భజేదస మదశోషమింద్రస్య భూయాధ్యేన సుతో హిమే. ఇది భావేన సా భర్తూరాచారాసకృత్ప్రియం అసకృత్ప్రియం శుశ్రూషయానురాగేణ ప్రశ్రయేణ దమేన చ భక్త్యా పరమయా రాజన్మనోజ్ఞైర్గొల్గుభాషితై మనోజగ్రాహ భావజ్ఞం సుస్మితాభాంగవీక్షణై. ఏవం స్త్రియా జడిభూతో జడీభూతో విద్వాన్ వివిదగ్ధయా భాడమిత్యాహ వివశో నదచిత్రం హి యోషితి. విలోక్యైకాంతభూతాని భూతాన్యాదో ప్రజాపతి స్త్రీం చక్రే స్వదేహార్థం యయా పుంసాం మతేర్హృదా. ఏవం శుశ్రూషితస్తాద భగవాన్ కశ్యప స్త్రియా పరమ ప్రహస్య పరమం ప్రీతో దిదిమాహాభినంద్యజ. శ్రీ కశ్యప ఉవాచ వరం వరయ వామోరూపృదస్తేహమనిందిదే శ్రియావర్తని సుప్రీదే కకామహ్యజాగమా పతిరేవ హి నారీణాం దైవతం పరమం స్మృతం మానస సర్వభూతానం వాసుదేవ శ్రియపతి. స ఏవ దేవతాలింగేర్నామరూపవికల్పితై ఇజ్జవే భగవాన్ పొంబి స్త్రీభిశ్చ పతిరూపతై. తస్మాల్పది ప్రధానార్య శ్రయల్స్కామాసు మధ్యమే యజందే అనన్య భావేన పరిమాల్పానమీశ్వరం సోహం త్వయార్చితోపద్రే ఈదగ్భావేన భక్తిదా తత్తే సంవాదే కామం అసదీనాం సుదుర్లభం శ్రీ తిరువాచాం వరదో యది మే బ్రహ్మన్ పుత్ర ఇంద్రహణం వ్రణే అమృతిం వరపుత్రాహం యేన మే ఖాదితో సుదౌ నిశమ్య తద్వజో విప్రో విమనా భజితపిదా అహోమధర్మ సుమహాన్ అద్య మే సముపస్థితా అహో అబ్ధేంద్రియారామో యోషిన్మయ్యేహమాయ గృహీరచేదా కృపణ పదిష్యే నరగే ధ్రువం కో అధిక్రమో నివర్త్యన్యా స్వభావమిహ యోషిత ధింగాంబదాబుదం స్వార్థే యాహం త్వచిదేంద్రియాం శరల్పల్పోత్సవం వక్త్రం వచశ్చ శ్రవణామృతం హృదయం శురధారాభం స్త్రీణాం కో వేద చేష్టితం నహి కశ్చిల్ ప్రియ స్త్రీణామంజసా స్వశిషాంజన్ ఆల్పనాం పతిం పుత్రం భ్రాతరం వా నంద్యర్థే ఖాదయంది చ ప్రతిశ్రుతం దదామి దీవజస్తన్నమృషా భవేల్ వధం నార్హతి చేంద్రోపి తత్రేదం వకల్పదే ఇది సంచింత్య భగవాన్ మారీచ కురు నందన ఉవాచ కించిల్కుపిదం ఆత్మానం చ విగర్హయన్ శ్రీ కశ్యప ఉవాచ పుత్రస్తే భవిదా భద్రేంద్రః దేవబాంధవ సంవత్సరం వృతమిదం యద్యజ్ఞో ధారయిష్యసి శ్రీదిదిరువాచ ధారయిష్యే వృతం బ్రహ్మన్ బ్రూహి కర్యాణి యాని మే యాని చేహ నిషిద్ధాని న వ్రతం కాందియాని తు శ్రీ కశ్యప ఉవాచ న హింస్యాద్భూతజాదాని న శాపే న అనుదం మదేల్ న ఛిన్యన్ న హయోమాని న స్పృశేద్ యదమంగళం నప్సుస్నాయోన్న కుప్పేదా న సంభాషదే సంభాషేద దుర్జనై నవసీదాధౌదవాసాస్రజం విద్రదాం క్వచిల్ నోచిష్టం చండిగానాం చ సామిషం వృషళాహృదం ముంజీదోదకయా దృష్టం పిబేదంజలినా తవ త్వ నో ఉచ్ఛిష్టా స్పృష్ట సలిలా సంధ్యాయాం ముక్తమూర్ధజ అనిర్చిదా సంయదవాసంవీదా బహిశ్చరేల్ ౌదపాద ప్రేద ఆద్రవాన్నోముదక్షిర శయీదాపరాంగన్యేర్నగ్నసంధేయోదవాసాశుచర్నిత్యం సర్వమంగళ సంయుధ పూజయల్ ప్రాతరాశా ప్రాగో విప్పాన్ శ్రీమచ్యుతం స్త్రియో విరవదిశ్చార్చేల్ సర్గంధమలిభు పలిబండనై పదీం చార్చ్యోపతిష్టేద్యాయేల్ కోష్టగదం చదం సంవత్సరం పుంసవనం మతమేద్వ విప్లుదం ధారయిష్యసి చేర్తుభ్యం శక్రః భవితా సుత బాటమిత విప్రోధ్యేత్యాధాది రాజన్మహామన కాశ్యమం గర్భమాధత్త వ్రతం చాంచోదధారస మాతృశ్వస్థిరభిప్రాయమింద్రమాజ్ఞాయమానద శుశ్రూషణీనా శ్రవస్తాం దిదిం పరిజరల్ కవి నిత్యం మనాల్సు మనసా ఫలమూల సమిత్కుశాన్ పత్రాంగురిమృదోవశ్చకాలే కాలముపాహరల్ ఏవం తస్యా వ్రతస్థాయ వ్రతఛిద్రం హరిర్నృప ప్రయత్సు పరిజరం జిగ్ము మృగహేవ మృగాకృతి నాధ్యగచ్చల్ వృతఛిద్రం తత్పరో తమహీపదే చిందాం తీవ్రాం గదశక్ర కేనమే సాచివం త్విహ ఏకదా సాధు సంధ్యాయాముచ్చిష్టా వ్రతకర్షిదాః అస్పృష్టవారి దౌదాంగ్రిం సుష్వాప విధిమోహిత లబ్ధ్వా తదంతరం శుక్రో నిద్రావహృత చేతస దిదే ప్రవిష్టముదరం యోగేశో యోగమానయ చకర్త సప్తదా గర్భం వజ్రేణ కనక ప్రభం తదంతం సప్తదైకైకం మారోధీరితి తాన్ పునః తే తమోజు పాఠ్యమానా సర్వే ప్రాంజలయో నృప నో జిఘాంససి కిమింద్ర భ్రాతరో మరుదస్తవ మా భైష్టభ్రాతరో మహ్యం యూయమిత్యాహ కౌశిక అనన్యభావాన్ పార్షదాన్ ఆత్మనో మరుదాం గణాన్ న భవానతి దీర్ఘర్భశ్వనివాసానుగంభయ బహుదా కలిశక్షుణ్ణో ద్రౌణ్యస్త్రేణ యథా భవాన్ సకృతిష్వాదిపూరుషం పురుషోయాది సామ్యతాం సంవత్సరం కించిదూనం దిత్యాయద్ధరిరర్చిదాహం సచురింద్రేణ పంచాశం దేవాస్తే మరుదో భవన్ విభూహ్య మాతృదోషం దే హరిణా సోమపాకృతాః దిరుత్థాయ దృశే కుమారానల ప్రభాన్ ఇంద్రేణ సహితాన్ దేవీ పరిదృశ్యత నిందిత అథేంద్రమాహత్వాదాహమాదిత్యానాం భయావహం avatimichan dijaram radamedal sudushkaram ekasangalpita putra sapta sapta bhavan katham yadide vidadam putra satyam kathayamam rusha shri indra vacha ambadeham vyavasidam uvadayaga dondiyam labdhandaro chidram chidam garbham atabuddherna narbhavil krutomi saptada garbham asal saptakumarega tevijayegasho vrikna saptada napimam vire tadastal paramasharyam viksha dhyavasidam maya mahapurusha pujayam siddhigapyanushangini aradhanam bhagavadam ihamana nirashisha yedu mechanda vivaram te swartha kushala smrida aradhyalpa pradam devam swatmanam jagadishwaram kovrani degunasprasham budasya annarage biyal tadidam mamadaur janyam balishasya mahiyasi shandumarhasi matastvam dishtya garbho mrdothida shri shukavacham indrasthaya bhyanityanam shuddhabhavena tushtaya Marudbi Sakadam Natva Jagamatravidradivam Prabhu Evam Desarama Kyadam Yanmatvam Paripratchasi Mangalam Maridam Janma Kimbhuya Kadayamite Idi Srimad Bhagavade Mahapurane Paramahamsam Samhitayam Shashtaskande Maridulpati Kathanam Nama Ashtadashodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda Unavimshediyal Proktam Kashyapena Dideruvratam Tadeva Muradam Loka Hidaya Haridoshanam. In this 19th chapter, Sridhara Swami says there that Kashyapa Prajapati instructed Didi Devi to perform this famous austerity called Pumsavanam, Pumsavana Pratham, for the benefit of the world. That's what is discussed in this next chapter. Shashtaskanda Nigudartham Padabhavartha Deepika Sadbhirase Vidamesha Yadi Sridhara Narumhita. That this sixth canto, the message of the sixth canto, which is called Poshanam, and Sridhara Swami mentions there, Pada Bhavartha Deepika, Sadbir Asevyada Mesha, Edi Sridhara Nurmida. What has been compiled by Sridhara Swami, let that message of the sixth canto of Poshanam, and the message that comes through all these, Ajamila story, Indra story, and then later on through Chitrakedu and Vrutrasura, and now finally this Madhudeva story. All those stories through which Sridharajari Swamiji has presented a message to us, called Poshanam. Let that message is Bhavartham. Bhavartham. Not Vakyartham. Bhavartham. That means in Srimad Bhagavatam there is a Bhavam for everything. That Bhavartham, what Sridhara Swami has spoken, let that get into the benefit the people, Sridhara Swami says there. Let that be beneficial to the devotees. Let the devotees take advantage, or let them utilize it for their spiritual advantage, says Sridhara Swami there. That's how he begins this chapter, the last chapter in the sixth canto. Shri Rajovacha Vradam Pumsavanam Brahman Bhavada Yadudiridam Tasya Vedidu Vichami Yena Vishnu Prasidari Shri Shukavacham Shukle Margashire Pakshe Yoshir Bhartura Nityaya Arabheda Pradamidam Sarva Sarva Kamigama Dida Nisham Mimuridam Janma Brahmana Ninumandrecha Snatva Shukla Dadi Shukle Vasida Langradam Bari Pujayel Pradara Shalprag Bhagavandam Shriya Saha Alamde Niravekshaya Purnagama Namostude Mahavibhudi Badaye Namasagala Siddhaye Yathatvam Kripaya Bhutya Tejasa Mahina Ujasa Jushtamisha Gune Sarvai Tadosi Bhagavan Prabhu Vishnubatni Mahamaye Mahapurusha Lakshane Priyedhame Mahabhage Loka Matarnamostude Om Namo Bhagavade Mahavrushaya Mahanubhavaya Mahavibhudi Padaye Saha Mahavibhudi Virbeli Upaharan Aharanidi Anena Haram Mandrayana Vishnu Ravahana Arkhya Padyobas Parshana Snana Vasa Upavida Vibhushana Gandha Pushpa Duba Deepa Upaharadi Upajaramscha Samahida Upaharel Havishesham Dujuhuya अनले द्वादशाहुदि ओम नमो भगवते महापुरुषाय महाविभूतिपदये स्वाहेति श्रियं विष्णुं जवरवाद आशिषां प्रभवा उभौ भक्त्या संभूजयेन् नित्यं यदि चेल् सर्वसंपदा प्रणमे दंडवल भूमो भक्ति प्रह्वेन चेदसा दशवारं जपेन् मंत्रं तदस्तोत्रमुदीरयेल् युवां तु विश्वस्य विभूर् जगत कारणं परम् यम हि प्रकृतिं सूक्ष्मां माया शक्तिर्दुरत्यया तस्यामदीश्वर साक्षात् त्वमेव पुरुषः परा त्वं सर्वयज्ञयुज्येयं क्रियेयं फलभुग् भवान् गुणव्यक्तिरेयं देवी व्यञ्जको गुणभुग् भवान् त्वं हि सर्वशरीरात्मा श्रीशरीरेन्द्रियाशया नामरूपे भगवती प्रत्ययस्त्वमुपाश्रया यथां युवां त्रिलोकस्य वरदौ परमेष्टिनौ तथा उत्तमश्लोक सन्धु सत्या महाशिषा इत्यभिष्टूय वरदं श्रीनिवासं श्रिया सह तन्निसार्योपहरणं दत्त्वा शमनमर्चयेल् ततस्तु वेदस्तोत्रेण भक्तिप्राह्वेण चेतसा यज्ञाशिष्टमवघ्राय पुनरभ्यर्चयेद्धरिं पतिं च परया भक्त्या महापुरुषचेतसा प्रियैस्तैस्तैरुपणमेल् प्रेमशील स्वयंपदी विभ्रियाल् सर्वकर्माणि पत्न्या उचावचानि च कृतमेकतरेणापि दम्पत्युभयोरपि पत्न्यां कुर्यादनर्हायां पतिरेदल् समाहिता विष्णोर्वृतमिदं बिभ्रन्न विहन्याल् कथञ्चन विप्रान् स्त्रियो वीरवती स्रग्बन्धबलिमण्डने अर्चेदहरहर्भक्त्यां देवं नेममास्थिता उद्वास्य देवं स्वे धाम्नि तन्निवेदितमग्रताम् अद्यादाल्पविशुद्ध्यर्थं सर्वकामर्धये तथा एतेन पूजविधिना मासान् द्वादश हायनम् नीत्वादोपचरेल् साध्वी कार्तिके चरमे हनि शोभूदेव उपस्पृश्य कृष्णमभ्यर्च्य पूर्ववल् पयश्रुतेन जुहया चरुणा सह सर्पिषा पाकयज्ञविधानेन द्वादशैवाहुतीपति आशिषशिरसादाय द्विजै प्रीतै समीरिता प्रणम्य शिरसा भक्त्या भुञ्जीद तदनुज्ञया आचार्यमग्रह कृत्वा वाग्यद सह बन्धुभिदभ्याल्पत्नी चरो शेषं सुप्रजास्त्वां सुसौभगम् एतच्चरित्वा विधिवद्व्रतं विभोर् अवीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह स्त्री त्वेतदास्ताय लभेद सौभगं श्रियं प्रजां जीवपदिं यशोग्रहम् कन्या च विन्देद समग्रक्षणं वरं तु वीराहदगिल्बिषागतिं मृतप्रजा जीवसुधा धनेश्वरी सुदुर्भगा सुभगारूपमग्र्यं विन्देद्विरीवाभिरुजा विमुच्यते य आमया विन्द्रियकल्पदेहम् एदल्पडन्नभ्युदये च कर्मण्यनन्दतृप्ति पितृदेवतानां तुष्टा प्रयच्छन्ति समस्तकामान् होमावसाने हुतभुक् श्रीहरिश्च राजन्महान्मरुदां जन्म पुण्यं दिदेर्व्रतं चाभिहितं महत्ते इति श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे परमहंस्यां संहितायां षष्ठस्कन्दे पुंसवनव्रतकथनं नाम एकोनविंशतितमोऽध्याये सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Sixth canto. What's happening here? We started from Daksha Prajapati again, is it not? Then we had been talking about Aditi and Didi, their children, and their parampara, in other words.
That's how it is done here.
First of all, we talked about Adithi's Parambara. Adithi's children and their stories. Adithi's children are the Adityas. And when their story was spoken, we had these 12 Adityas, Dwadasha Adityas they are called. And in that, Toshtava, Vishwarupa story, Vritrasura, all these things came in that Parambara. And we also had to talk about the previous history of Vritrasura. Toshtava, Vishwarupa, Vritrasura, they are the three ones in the Adithi's Parambara. It came and we found out who this Vritrasura was in his previous life, isn't it? So, in this way, all these chapters were over in the sixth canto. After finishing that, now Shobhramarshi is taking the Parambara of Didi. Didi's Parambara, what happened? All those who are born from Didi Devi, who are born from, they are all Asuras or Danava. They are called Danavas also. Daityas, Danavas, Asuras, same thing. So, at that time he says, normally Adithi Devi's children are all demigods, Devadas, Devas they are. And Didi's children are all Asuras. But 49 children of Didi Devi became Devas. 49 children of Didi Devi became Devas. When he said that, Parishit wanted to know, how did that happen? It's natural, isn't it? Normally Aditi's children are all Devas and these children are all Asuras. But what is the reason for that? How did they become Devas, he said. So that story had to be spoken. That's how these two chapters, the 18th and the 19th chapter, has come about. So, once Didi Devi served Kashyapa Prajapati very well and pleased him. And when Kashyapa Prajapati saw this unusual hospitality from Didi Devi, everything. Normally, when he goes into forest, Kashyapa Prajapati spends a lot of his time in the forest, in the meditations and in the austerities and penances. What he used to see was fighting going on between Didis and the Adithi's children. This is the normal. And he used to get fed up and he goes to forest again for performing penances, for the, had enough of all that. But this time he came back into, sometimes he went to Didi's ashram, sometimes he went to Adithi's ashram. So when he went to in Didi's ashram, normally it's always there's fight and quarreling, but here it is not like that. Didi, in an extraordinary level, showing her affection and attachment to Kashyapa Prajapati and showing some unusual service attitude, as you say in our language, service attitude and everything. And before even asking for something, Didi was organizing everything for Kashyapa Prajapati. So Kashyapa Prajapati thought, I have been performing penances so that these two doesn't create trouble for me in my life. Kashyapa Prajapati was praying this apparently in his meditation. He started thinking, maybe their mind has become getting better. Oh, Adithis and Didis. These two were quarreling always and creating hell for him. So he thought that now my penances and austerities is working, or it's having some impact on them and they are getting better. And Didi particularly saw that Didi's mind has become very pure, in a very surrendered mood and very and he was very pleased. Kashyapa Prajapati was very pleased. But he's praying also, I don't make that mistake what happened before with Didi Devi. And you remember, in a similar situation, Varahamurti time, that Vakranikashipu and Hiranyakashipu was conceived in a similar way. So he was praying also inside, I don't make any mistakes in this relationship with them. So somehow or the other, when he saw that Didi Devi was serving him and pleasing him in an extraordinary, in unusual way, Kashyap Prajapati asked him, did he want something, some blessing or benediction? That's not the asking. You have to ask that. Isn't it? When somebody is doing like that, Kashyap Prajapati had to ask this question. And Devi was waiting for this. Devi is all, it was all very motivated, and it was all with expectation of full results from that. And he says here, if you are pleased with my service, all very polite and very nice way, Didi Devi says to Kashyap Prajapati, if you are pleased with my service, then you have to bless me to have a son who will kill Indra. Will kill Indra. This is the benediction she wanted. Didi Devi wanted. So, both are sisters. Didi is elder one, Didi is the younger one. And this is the relationship between the two. So, that is one of their nature. Aditi Devi also will pray in the same way. Didi also prays. Aditi Devi prayed and Vamanamurthy came in that way. But Didi Devi also prays in the same way. So, this kind of situation is not new in this world. It's been existing since then. From that time, Kashyap Prajapati's time onwards, this kind of problems what you find today in the society, the same problems existed then also. It's not something new. You don't say that it's only in Kali Yuga this happens. No. This nature won't change. This is eternal. It's there and it's now also. And better not to try to change all these things. If you think that you can correct and rectify all these situations, it will not happen. It will not happen. But when this, otherwise for Didi to ask something like this, you have to remember that who is Indra? Indra is his own son. Kashyap Prajapati's son he is, but born from another wife, Aditi. And Didi is asking, give me a benediction so that a son will take birth who will kill Indra. So asking to kill another son, she is asking for a son, to kill another son. She is not able to think more than that, that Indra is also Kashyap Prajapati's son. That thought is not going through. Right now, Indra is the problem, he should be killed. This is her mood. But when she said this, it hit him hard. What kind of people are this? They are going to make my life very, very difficult. So sometimes you think, when you see all the decorations of the body, and when you look outside, everything looks very beautiful, but inside the mind and the vasanas inside may not be always very good. That's what it's indicating. That externally all dressed up nicely and looks beautiful, but inside vasanas and inside the thoughts are not very the best. So he thought that, I should not have said that, he says. Kashyap Prajapati says, Aho Mayabalam Vishnu, he says. Look at Vishnu's power, how he put me these words through my mouth. I didn't want to do this, but whole circumstances built up in finally that Prakriti Maya has Vishnu's Maya's power, he says. Aho Mayabalam Vishnu, how Maya forced me to speak like this, now I am in trouble. The result is not going to be very pleasant, he says. And he sat there thinking what to say to Didi. So he mentions there, what should I say to him? But now you can't come back, go back on your words. He says to Didi, Didi, do one thing. He says to Didi, that I will teach you one vratam called a Pumsavanam. And what that means, you have to follow this, a ritual-like thing. Seriously, you follow this ritual. And if you follow it properly, Shukra Gada Bhavita Sudha. If you look at that, what he says there, that in the 18th chapter. What will happen if you follow it? What will saying here?
Thank you.
54. Samvalsaram pumsamanam vraja medad vipludam dharayishyasi chetubhyam shakraha bhavita sudha. Samvalsaram pumsavanam vraja medad vipludam dharayishyasi chetubhyam shakraha bhavita sudha. Then you will have a son who will be able to kill Indra if he follows this for one samvatsaram for one whole year. That, but if you make any mistakes in that pumsavanam vratam, that son will become Indra's friend. So he put another clause there, yeah, in that to escape from, because otherwise another hell waiting. If suppose they become enemies and they start fighting, then whose side he can take? Both are his sons. One side is Indra, other son is the Maridevas. To whom side should I take? So he knew this problem. So he says to her, if ever you make any mistakes in that Pumsavanam Vratam, then he will become a relation of Indra. He will become friendly to Indra. The Devi didn't think too much in that. She says, I will perform the Pumsavanam austerity seriously, and whatever I have to do, I'll do it. Whatever I have to do, I'll do it. All I want is Indra should die. Indra has to be killed. That's all I wanted, she said. She's saying that my sister's son should die. That's all I wanted, he said. So, okay, if it is like that, Kashyapa Rajaji says, write down everything I'll tell you. You can write it down, what you have to do. Then a lot of rules, regulations given to her. Make it as difficult as possible for her. If you read through that, Pumsavanam Vratam, it's a number of rules and regulations. You can't sleep during the day. You can't sleep in the evenings. If you chant, fall asleep, gone. You should wash your hair during the day. You should, so many restrictions like that given it to her. The reason why Kashyapa Prajapati put it like this is, if somehow or the other, if Indra escapes from this, let him escape from this problem. That's what he had in his mind. He was not too bothered about Didi's son, who is going to take birth, whom he doesn't even know who it is. But Kashyapa Prajapati thought that he did not want Indra to get killed, and therefore, if by chance Didi Devi makes some mistakes, then Indra will escape from the curse. So that was his. So that is why he put all these conditions into it, and that is why I told her, Didi, you shouldn't sleep during the day. Then, particularly in the Sandhya times, twilight. At that time, if you fall asleep, it will be extremely bad. You should always keep your feet clean, or should wash and keep it clean. And you should eat only that kind of food which is offered to the deities. And Chandika Annam, not to be eaten. Chandika Annam means that Annam that's been offered to Chandika, Sri Parvati's another form. Like this, totally 40 rules, it is listed in that Bhagavatam, related to this Pumsavanam. Kashyapa Prajapati dictated, Didi Devi wrote it down, all 40 of them. And Didi Devi started her Pumsavanam Vratam. So, somehow or the other, when Didi Devi started this, Indra is always keeping an eye on her. What's he up to next? What's she up to? Like, she's keeping an eye on him, and he's keeping an eye on her as well. So he's saying that my mother's younger sister, Didi Devi, he heard that she has started this Pumsavana Vratam. He has started, and the intention behind that is to have a son who will kill him, who will kill Indra. And she has been given all the instructions
and proper advices by father Kashyapa Prajapati himself. So Indra was in confused state. Immediately Indra got confused and he didn't know what to do. But Indra has got intelligence. He can think. Only thing is all the things are like this, he thinks. So practically he understood that Didi Devi is more or less like a mother's sister, isn't it? How do you call it? I don't know what that relationship is called in English. Aunt. So she is an aunt. So aunt has actually cheated my father. It's not. The aunt has cheated my father. So he decided I should cheat my aunt also. Because aunt has cheated my father, Kashyapa Prajapati. That's how he got this benediction and pumsavanam vratam and all that. So there's no harm in cheating her. This is Indra's logic. Indra decided, and what he did was he changed his dress, form, everything, and came to Didi's ashram. Didi is seriously doing this in her ashram. And like a brahmachari, dressed up like a young, small brahmachari, he comes to her and says to her, I am a brahmachari, come for bhiksha. And if you do want any service, I can help you in the ashram. For example, arranging the grass for the different ceremonies and arranging the flowers and setting up the fire for her for the sacrifice. And like these, so many things. Whatever you like, everybody likes a handyman around, isn't it? To do all these kinds of services. So our Indra knew that Didi will like it, have somebody to do all the services at the ashram. So he says to her that he has to get up early, that means, because Didi Devi cannot sleep during the day. So she starts her spiritual activities in the morning. And so, but prior to that, Indra has to get up, get ready. He has to bathe, and then he has to arrange the flowers, keep the ashram clean, everything, and help Didi also to get the milk from the cows. In every way, sort of an assistant there. And he's very young as well, about 10, 12 years old, not more than that. When he arrived there, Didi asked him, who are you? He says, I just do some service at the temple and make my living in that way, or ashrams. I spend my time, I'm a brahmachari. If I get an opportunity to serve some mahatmas, I go and spend some time with them. And I learn from them. And I heard that in this ashram you are performing sacrifices and penances. I thought if I could be of any help to you, I could offer that help. That's why I came here. And I'm wandering around. So Didi asked her, have you got any other work to do? He said, no, I don't have anything else at the moment. He said, alright, then you can stay here about 8 or 10 months. You can stay here. This was in Didi's mind. And she also told him that I won't be paying you any big salary or anything. All you will have is your prasadam. And you can stay here. You can have your prasadam and you can stay here. So you'll have to do whatever I ask you to do here in the ashram. So Indra was happy. He was thinking, at least he got in. This is how people, isn't it? They just want to get in first and then get established there. That's the same thing Indra did. So Indra is happy, even if there's no twice, two meals a day, at least one meal is more than enough. Indra wanted to be in the job. And got inside somehow or the other. So Indra is very cautious at that time. He's very serious about it, and therefore he's very cautious as well. That if by Didi Devi finds out that Indra has come like this, she can curse him and finish him there. So Indra has to be careful also. Almost it is 10 months' time now, it's getting closer to that, and before that, very close to that, Indra has been thinking she hasn't made any fault till now. She's followed all the 40 rules very strictly, and that was causing him concern. Indra was getting worried,
and it's getting closer to the 10th month when she's going to have the baby. So actually Indra was in labor, not Didi. Indra was in labor because if she delivers the baby properly, then his head will go. That was known to him because father has given this benediction, blessing to him. So he is very much focused, Indra, thinking that when is that Didi is going to make a blunder, make a mistake. You'll see there mentions also in the Bhagavadam that in the 18th chapter, Indra's planning. Look at that verse, it's a long chapter. You'll see the 60th verse, you see. Ekada sadhu sandhyayam uccheshta vratakarshidaha aspreshta varya daudhangri sushvabha vidimohidaha. Ekada sadhu sandhyayam uccheshta vratakarshidaha aspreshta varya daudhangrim sushvabha vidimohidaha. That destiny turned out like this, she fell asleep. Imagine, she has struggled so hard to stay awake, like we struggle in the Bhagavatam class, in all ways, isn't it, to stay awake. Similarly, Didi also tried her hard for the 12 months to stay awake during the day. But once it so happened, it says, Ekada sadhu sandhyayam, Ekada, once, on a sandhya, evening. Because, why? Uchishta vradakarshidaha. That she was very strictly following the injunctions. Sometimes you can see people try and put a lot of effort to follow the rules and regulations very rigidly. Vrata karshidaha, she was following that. Aspreshtavarya daudhangrim sushvava vidhimohidaha. But destiny was something else to happen, meant to happen. So that is why when this happened, that he says to her that Sushabha Vidhi Mohida. What did mention? Sushabha Vidhi Mohida. She has been told very clearly, daytime you shouldn't sleep. Shouldn't sleep. But somehow or the other, Didi felt, couldn't control. She felt, couldn't control the sleep. So, normally you can see, Ekadashi, you are not supposed to sleep. On Ekadashi day, you get the highest sleep. The best sleep you get on Ekadashi day. The same thing happened to Didi. We don't want to sleep, but we sleep, what to do? So, it happens like that, isn't it? Normally, you don't sleep during the day. But on Ekadashi day, somehow the other sleep comes on that day. So, like Srimad Bhagavatam, when you want to sit and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, some sleep will come. That's normal. That's destiny. You can't do anything about it. So, because Didi that was following this rigorously, very rigidly, sleep came for her. Sleep came for her. And husband has told her, Kashyapa Prajapati has told Didi, you shouldn't sleep during the day. And before that, when she felt tired, she told Indra, called Indra and told him, Indra, if I fall, didn't know it was Indra, to Brahmachari, whoever was that, says to him, you sit there. If ever I feel, look tired or anything, because she was feeling tired, if I'm falling asleep, you should not allow me, let me sleep. You should wake me up straight away. Told, right person, isn't it? To Indra. To Indra, she has told this, to wake her up. And she also told this disciple, it's a disciple, Brahmachari disciple, that my husband has told me that when I'm following this rule, this is such an important thing, I'm not allowed to sleep during the day. So whatever the rules and regulations, what Kashyapa Prajapati has given to Didi Devi, she has taught all this to Indra also. So Indra knew where the weaknesses are. What should go wrong in Didi's life? Indra is waiting for this opportunity. So she says to him, "You should keep an eye on me. If I'm closing my eyes, you should immediately wake me up," says Didi Devi to Indra. So, right person to tell these things, isn't it? So Indra is waiting the right opportunity to come. Didi Devi sat there. First she sat there. She was not lying down, because she's not lying down. But what happens normally is, when you sit down, then suddenly you will see which is the neck closest to wall or the pillar. She fell like that, towards the wall or the pillar, whatever that was there. And after a while, she started snoring. And when you are completely collapsed, what happens? You will lie down, isn't it? Sometimes it's like that. When you get sleep to such levels that you can't control it anymore, no matter where it is, you just want to lie down. Sometimes you will see some tourists, after wandering around the whole of India, they'll get so tired. And then they'll come, and in some railway platform you will see they'll be lying there. They couldn't get proper sleep somewhere because of the noise, and when you come from somewhere else, you get that difficulty. The noise all the time, and there's the heat and the dust and everything, and you have been wandering around whole day in the town and cities. So finally you end up somewhere and you'll fall asleep. The same thing like that. So here, she fell down and slept and extended her legs and hands, everything, and wandered. Completely went into samadhi state. And she started snoring. Didi Devi started snoring. So Indra decided, "You won't get another opportunity better than this." He says, "Let her get deeper into the sleep, and then you don't have to perform any anesthetic. It's already done very well, because it's like an anesthetic, this sleep for her." When she went to sleep in very deep sleep, two or three rules she has already broken. First thing, she was lying and sleeping. Secondly, it was Sandhya time, the twilight time. Then she has not washed her feet, and that was dirty. Then another rule was, the hair should be tied all the time. But the hair was also loose. All the hair has come loose. And normally in them days, women had to keep their hair tied and wash their feet. Only then they are considered to be clean, pure. So, and similarly, if you have touched your hair, you should wash your hands and legs. And once you have tied the hair, then it should not become loose again. I know all these loose laws, today if you tell in the world, they'll think, what's all these rules now? They have different situation, but these are considered from the Vedic point of view, they have a value, for reason also behind it, that we'll not discuss it now, it's not going to come back. So this is not going to, the hair should not be loosened, and if you have tied the hair, then you have to wash your hands and legs. That is mandatory. So here, these rules are stringent rules followed by them for a very, very long time. This was a requirement in household life. This was followed seriously. But as times changed, you can see how it's all changing, isn't it? Now, you don't need to do anything because you buy them and fit it up, the hair. So therefore, it's all, the scene is different, isn't it? So anyway, two or three things has been broken. Laws has been broken. Indra had his thunderbolt with him, Vajram, the thunderbolt. And with his yogic power, he got into her womb. He got into her womb. You see there what he say, what he saw inside, in that womb, inside who? Didi Devi's womb. What did he see? He says there that Chakarta 62, verse 62. Chakarta saptada garbham vajrayana kanaka prabham tadandam saptadhei yegam ma rodi dididan puna. He says, Vajrayana Kanaka Prabham.
like a diamond, gold. Inside the Devi, the jiva there was like a gold, it was shining there. Vajrena Kanaka Prabham, he says there. So, when he saw that, he says there, looking at that child inside, he knew that this is a very special person who is going to come. He's going to kill him, isn't it? So, he's very aware of that and saw that child. He couldn't resist himself. Because this child was born after serving Krishna, based on the instructions from Kashyapa Prajapati. So you can expect it cannot be an ordinary person. It has to be someone special. So it was not at all unusual, or it was not at all surprising that this jiva who had come there was very effulgent and very powerful personality. Indra could feel the presence there. And Indra was... look at Indra. Indra didn't show any mercy. Indra, whether the child has come by worshipping Krishna or Shiva or Vishnu, doesn't matter for Indra. Indra is only looking at this way. He's going to be my enemy. He's going to cause problem for me. So Indra didn't have any fear. What he did was, with this Vajrayudham or this thunderbolt what he had, he cut that fetus inside into seven pieces. Into seven pieces, he cut that. Like, you know, when you have this very fully ripe jackfruit, large one, when you cut that, from inside there is individual fruits inside. The big fruit, if you cut it, inside you will see the individual ones. All of them look very good because they are fully ripe, isn't it? Similarly, he says these seven of them inside, he cut them into seven. All seven of them looks brilliant. So what did he do? Seven of them, he says, and in all seven of them had its own legs and hands and eyes and ears, everything. Why is it like this? Indra started thinking, it's all happening inside the womb. And then he took those seven and put them in front, one after the other, like this. Anyway. So that he can cut them again. So he cut them all the seven again. And so first he cut like this way, and then he cut this way seven. So by seven now, it's become 49. It becomes 49. So, and then again they look good, 49 of them. So Indra is thinking, let me cut them again. So he took the thunderbolt to kill them again, cut them again. At that time, all of them, there were 49 children there. These 49 of them started speaking to Indra. Indra, why do you, calling him my elder brother, he says, curse to him, don't kill us. You won't be able to kill us. We are people who can never be killed. We can never be killed. Because we are born, taken this body, our mother has served Krishna very well. And we have come like this. There is no death for us. But also remember that we are not your enemies. And you are killing us because thinking that we are your enemies, isn't it? Says to Indra. Indra says, you are not my enemies then. He says, no. But if you come out, will you change your mind then? Afterwards. Then they gave a word, because they accept that once you give a word, it was honored then, isn't it? So these 49 of them, they told Indra that we give you a word, even when we come out, we won't change or we will be your friends. Indra was very pleased. And then Indra took his bottle with him. Indra goes with his bottle. Only the bottle has got nectar in that, not other things. But he's selling the bottle here, but Indra's bottle. Indra carries a bottle with him all the time, but it is nectar filled in. He took that, and that bottle is always in Indra's pocket. He keeps it with him. So, when he got into Didi Devi's womb, also he's carrying the bottle with him, And wherever he goes, he will carry this with him. So he goes inside and he took 1 ounce and gave it to all 49 of them. This amrita, what he had got from the heavenly planets. So all 49 of them came out from inside. After they all came out, Indra came out, and then Didi wakes up. After about 10 minutes later, Didi woke up. And Didi woke up, opened her eyes, and when she opened her eyes, she could not believe this, that 49 were standing there, Indra was also standing there. Didi Devi got really angry about everything what has happened. And when she looked at her own belly, it's all empty. It's all gone. So 49 plus this one, Indra, 50 of them standing in front of Indra. And one of them is Indra. He says to Indra, Indra, now the Brahmachari is not there. Brahmachari is gone. It's Indra's form there. So she is asking, Didi Devi is asking, Indra, when did you come? She says to him. So Indra says to her, you had one assistant, you remember, a Brahmachari. That was me. He says to her. So Didi Devi started thinking that this man, Indra, that why did you come like this, dressed up in that Brahmachari form? So that is saying here that you see, in the Mailpatur said this to Krishna. What is that about? He says to him that Tulsevanena didi Indra vado dhyatapi tan pratyudendra sukhrado marido bilebhe dushtashaye bi shubhadeya bhavan nisheva tattadashastamavamam pavanalayesham dushtashaye bi shubhadeya bhavan nisheva. Mailpatur wrote this story, and Krishna sitting and listening to that. Krishna asked him, Mailpatur, why do you think that this situation that Indra has changed his dress and came like this? He says here that dushtashayevi shubhadeva bhavan nisheva. He says that if you serve Krishna, there is one thing will happen at the end. What is that? Then even if you have done that with evil intentions, if you have acted in this world with evil intentions to destroy somebody, or out of envy, or out of pride, or ego, whatever it may be, that if you have started like that, if you have served Krishna, those things will go from inside. That's what has happened to Didi Devi. See, Didi Devi, when she started this whole project, the intention was to kill Indra. Enmity and ragadvesham, hate, all these things were in her heart. But because she served Krishna, by now, after 12 months, by the time all these, everything what happened, somehow or the other, Didi Devi's mind got purified. She was not feeling the same hate towards Indra what she felt at the beginning now. Because these 49 of them, and Indra standing there, Indra says to her that I came as a Brahmachari because you have decided to follow this Pumsavanam Vratam to kill me, and therefore I have decided to do something about it. I've gone into the womb and I saw this there, the life was there, kill that, cut them into pieces, and they have come out, and they are with me now. They are with me now. So I have made them. You have only thought about having one son to kill Indra, but I have made them 49. Indra says to her, but Satyam Kathayamam Rasha. Didi Devi says to her, tell me the truth, otherwise I'll curse you and burn you here, finish you up here itself. And tell us the truth. It was then that Indra spoke the truth to her.
Everything. Indra spoke the whole thing. So, and those children who had come out, they were calling Indra as their elder brother and were very friendly and was very happy in Indra's association. Indra's association. And Didi naturally felt Indra is pleased with them and they are pleased with Indra. Why should I become unnecessary? Didi's heart changed. In other words, it got better. That's what Melpatura asked Krishna. Is that not what happened? Krishna said yes. That's what I said. So, actually it was expected that Didi would have cursed Indra. But Didi didn't get angry. And Didi didn't curse him. So, Didi Devi tells him, take your brothers with you and go to the heavenly planets and live there. And why? Why he didn't get angry? Shubadeva bhavan nisheva. If you serve Krishna, even if you had such evil intentions and bad thoughts against somebody, and even if you have started your worship of Krishna like that, finally it will end up in a better way. Because as far as Didi Devi is concerned, she got purified in that process. Because as long as you have this hate, enmity towards other person, Itindra, this will continue forever, isn't it? It's not going to go away. So, if you can get rid of that from inside, then you are free from your vasanas. So, removed Didi Devi's vasanas from inside, which is a bigger success than killing Indra, getting rid of one's own vasanas, isn't it? So, if you serve Krishna, there is one positive side like that, said Melpatur to Krishna. And Krishna says, so similarly, if you go and pay your obeisances to Krishna, chant the holy name, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if you keep on hearing and doing it all the time, our mind also will get better. That crookedness inside us, that diplomacy, that ragam, dvesham inside, hate and pride and ego, and all associated nature, what all we all carry with us, in course of time, that will also get itself dissolved. It will go. If you keep on serving Krishna, hearing Bhagavadam, and hearing this, chanting the holy name, deity worship, paying obeisances to Krishna, all processes in the bhakti process, if you keep executing that, that is Krishna's grace. What Krishna does to us is that bad vasanas inside us, he will take out one after the other from inside. So, that is Krishna's grace. So, not that one child has become 49 or that the children didn't die. That is not the greatest benediction here. Krishna's blessing here is Manashuddhi, Chittashuddhi. Because only if there is Chittashuddhi, this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam or Vedantam or knowledge of the self will happen inside. Otherwise it won't happen. That's why we keep on hearing, it's not having any impact in us. Why? Because of absence of that Chittashuddhi. Chittashuddhi is what Krishna offers to us in return to all these things. When Chittashuddhi comes, from that immediately the knowledge of the self will happen and you'll get freed from the ragadvesham and kartrutva bhoktrutvam and all other associated impurities will go and Chittam will become pure. You can leave all these things from the Marudeva story. And it's also that chapter finishes how Pumsavanam has to be executed, and after this the seventh canto begins where Prahlada's story comes. Prahlada's story, and that is the next one we'll start after a few minutes.
चेतोदर्पणमर्जनं वो महादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयःकैतवचन्द्रिया वितरणं विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि दानीमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाहम् तृणारवीषुनीचैनाम् तरोरवी सहिष्णुना अमानिनामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि नधनम् न जनम् न सुन्दरीम् कविराम्भा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाद्भक्तिरहैलुगि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुजकिङ्गरम् पतिदामाम् शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थिरदूलीसदृशम् विचिन्तय नयनम् गलदश्रुधारय वदनम् गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितम् गदा वपुः तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम् निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम् शून्यायुधम् जगल् सर्वम् गोविन्द विरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदाम् विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनाम् मर्महदाम् करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विदधा त्विलम् पटु मल्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा.
सो Seventh canto of Bhagavadam is what is called Uti. Uti is the word for the seventh canto. And it's also an interesting canto in the sense, every canto is interesting in the Bhagavadam if you get involved deeply into it. You will start relishing Bhagavadam's beauty then. So, seventh canto's beauty is that Narasimha Murthy appears in the Bhagavadam in the seventh canto, Lord Narasimha. And the greatest commentator of Srimad Bhagavadam, Sridharacharya Swamiji, is the devotee of Narasimha. So, while commenting on this canto, Sridhara Swami gives a famous introduction to this canto. Who is Narahari, Narasimham. And his devotion to Narasimham comes through those verses. When he introduces, he writes his own commentary on the seventh canto. Only seventh canto. One. Secondly, you will see in this canto something very interesting than any other canto. As we have heard before, that Krishna instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma, Brahma instructed to Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi instructed to Vedavyas, Vedavyas instructed to Sukadeva Goswami, and Shuka Brahmarshi or Sukadeva Goswami instructed to Parikshit. This is the way that parampara has come. But when we come to the seventh canto, what do we find there is that Sri Narada Maharshi is speaking Bhagavadam a lot in the seventh canto. It appears as though that in the sixth canto, when Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke about Ajamila's story, particularly Ajamila's story, he was actually in such a state of samadhi state, transcendental state, that Vedavyasa is Narada Maharshi's disciple in the Bhagavata Parampara, isn't it? So what happened was, when up to the sixth canto, including sixth canto, Vedavyasa wrote. But when it came to seventh canto, Narada Maharshi arrived on the scene again. He wasn't there before. You remember when he left Vedavyas, instructed him to write Srimad Bhagavatam and he left. He went away. Then he is coming back here in the seventh canto. Many Bhagavatam commentators, including Sridharacharya Swamiji's opinion is that when it came to that in the seventh canto is the story of Prahlada and Narasimha. So when Prahlada's story was to be spoken, and Vedavyasa Maharshi in his transcendental state
Because after talking about Ajamila's story, Vedavyas was thinking about Krishna's compassion or that Poshanam. Poshanam means that Poshanam tad anugraha. That is what Bhagavatam says. Poshanam means Krishna can save anybody if he wants to save somebody. No matter who it is. How fallen he is. This somebody's fallen and higher is based on the background. That Ajamila coming from such a great background, a Brahmana that trained well and had a successful spiritual life before, fell into the very lowest level of with the prostitute and having children from her, and then in that process to maintain her and the children, he had to steal, rob and kill and all kinds of things he did. Even Jagai Madai hasn't reached that level, to that level of Ajamila's fall. Ajamila's level was so high in spiritually, and from there he fell into the lowest level. You can imagine that he completely rejected his parents. He had a married wife and children, he threw them out, didn't care for them. Went after this prostitute and had 10 children from her. And to maintain this second family, he had to go and do all kinds of activities which were not at all allowed or forbidden from the point of view of Shastram, and highly sinful activities he was engaged in. So Ajamila fell into such a level, and Krishna sent and got him out from that situation and saved him from that. Seeing all these things, Vedavyas could not resist himself, and simply thinking about Krishna's compassion, Vedavyas was in tears. This Ajamila story affected him so much that he was in tears when he started talking about Ajamila's story in the Bhagavatam. So, because he got choked and emotional at that time after discussing Ajamila's story, and he was in that transcendental state, in a very ecstatic state, it was then that the seventh canto comes at that time. Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, "Don't worry, I will talk about Prahlada and Narasimhamurti for another reason. Prahlada is his best disciple. There is if you ask Narada Maharshi, you have so many disciples, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you can see. Narada Maharshi had so many disciples. Vedavyas is disciple. Then Hariyashwa and Shabalashwa, Dashaprajavati's children, they're all his disciples. Dhruva is his disciple. So many disciples he had. But if you ask Sri Narada Maharshi, who is your most favorite, or whom do you think is the best disciple you had and most successful disciple, Narada Maharshi will say it's Prahlada. Prahlada is this. So when Prahlada's story comes in the Bhagavatam, it appears that Narada Maharshi does not want anybody else to talk about it. He wants to talk himself. Want to talk about himself. That is why in the seventh canto you will see Sri Narada Vaja everywhere. This is the reason, this is the opinion of the famous commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam, or those who have higher understanding of Bhagavatam. Why Narada Maharshi walks in the seventh canto and starts speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? Even though he left Vedavyas before, giving all instructions what to say in the Bhagavatam, he has given a framework for Bhagavatam to Vedavyas before, is it not? You remember in the fifth chapter, Vyasa Narada Samvadam, that fifth chapter in the first canto, is Narada Maharshi's instructions to Vedavyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam, and he has given all the instructions how he should write based on what Lord Brahma has spoken to him. He says there that Bhagavatam, he says to Vedavyas, write Bhagavatam in such a way, don't go down to their level, to the mundane level. Let them come up to the level of spirituality in the Bhagavatam. So, never make any compromise on that. And things like that, Vedavyas was instructed. Lot of places. If you look into the first canto, each and every verse is Narada Maharshi's words. If you look into the first canto, fifth chapter.
how to write Srimad Bhagavatam, where he mentions there that Panjame Sarvadharmebhyo Hari Kirtane Gauravam Vyasa Chitta Prasadaya Narade Nopabadhyade. Shri Swami mentions there that to glorify Krishna in such a way that Vyasa Chitta Prasadaya, for the sake of peace, Shandi, Chitta Prasadam, it's called Chitta Prasadam, Shandi inside, because Vedavyasa was disturbed. Narada Maharshi spoke, instructed him, and he told him that, Sri Narada Vacha, you can read that many, many verses, how Bhagavatam should be written. He told him, Tadvag visargo janathaga viplavau yasmin pradishlogama bhaddhavatyavi nama nyananda se shongidaniyal shrunandi gayandi grnandi sadhava naishkarmya vyapya achyuda bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapuna shashada badramishare na charpidam karma yadapya karanam. There is a number of verses, over 30-40 verses there. Altogether something like 40 verses in that chapter, 5th chapter. There Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas how he should compile Srimad Bhagavatam, saying that he left. And that Narada Maharshi is coming back here in this canto to talk about Prahlada. That is one important and interesting part of this 7th canto. Shri Narada Maharshi coming back to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And that makes a big difference also in the same way. So he says here, the thing is this, that uti means karma vasana. Karma vasana in us. Like last one was poshanam. Poshana tada nigraha. Krishna's power of benediction or power of mercy or compassion. That's what we saw in the last canto. But in this canto, what we see is how vasana inside us will take our life in different directions. How we will act in this world based on the vasanas what we have. That is the change here in the 7th canto. So bhakta pakshabadena tad vibhaksha vidharanam nrsimham albudam vandau paramananda vigraham, says Shridhara Swami. Shridhara Swami says there that because of his unusual compassion towards his devotee, Prahlada, and because Hiranyakashipu, who tried to kill Prahlada due to his hate for this devotee, Prahlada, therefore, I pay my obeisances to Lord Narasimha, who appeared here to kill Hiranyakashipu. That's what he's saying. That's how he begins the canto. So, bhakta bhakshava adena tad vibhaksha vidharanam nrsimham albhudam vande paramananda vigraham udi panjadashadhyaye saptame varnyade dhuna udischa vasana proktam tatal karmanusarini. Then in the 7th canto there is totally 15 chapters. Oh, and this 15 chapters is called Uti or Krishna's Leela. Leela means Avatara Leela. This is the Narasimha Avataram, in this appearance of Narasimha. So Narasimha Avatara Leela is spoken here, and interesting, this seventh canto is a introduction to us, to explain to us how karma vasana follows us. How karma vasana follows us. Even if you want to escape from that, it's impossible, not possible. Karma vasana will follow us. That is, this canto will teach us that. Ashubhaja shubhajedi dividasa hedu bhedada ashubha mahadam kobal shubha mahadanugrahal. So this vasana called uti, uti means karma vasana, that is divided into two different categories. Ashubha vasana, shubha vasana. Auspicious and inauspicious. Inauspicious is called ashubha vasana. Auspicious is called shubha vasana. And if you upset, if you act offensively to the great souls, great personalities, mahatmas, that will create ashubha vasana inside us. Inauspicious vasana inside us. And if you please mahatmas, great personalities, that will create shubha vasana inside us.
So these vasanas are created by our karma. When we perform nice karma and please great souls, they will think about you in a nice way, and that will create good vasana inside you. Similarly, if you upset great personalities and act in a rudely and without humility in front of them and in offensive way and upset them, then they, by because you upset them, it will develop in this way. Inauspicious vasana, ashubha vasana will develop inside us, which means that we will be in trouble again. So that is why ashubha mahatam kobhal shubha madanugrahal, says Shridhara Swami. Hare dvabarayo dvadval vaigunde vasato varadhi chadussanirusha vishnu dveshadya shubhavasana. So even though Jaya and Vijaya, they were living in Vaikuntham, were they not? They were living in Vaikuntham, and they were direct servants of Vishnu, Mahavishnu servants. But because they upset the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras went there. That story we spoke before in the third canto. So because these two, Jaya and Vijaya, who are so close to Krishna, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, in the Vaikuntha planet, due to their offenses to these four Kumaras, what has happened was that they have developed some vasana in them. And that is why when they came here, when they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were hated Vishnu. How did that hate built up inside? Because they offended four Kumaras. This is how it follows. There they offended Kumaras. The result was that this bad vasana built up inside to hate Mahavishnu. And that's why when they came here, when they fell from the Vaikuntham and came to the heavenly planets and the earthly planet and all, what has happened to them was that they developed such a strong hate and enmity towards Vishnu and his devotees, including Mahavishnu and Prahlada. They hated them so much. How could such a hate build up? Normal situation is difficult to hate like that. But the hate built up because they offended the four Kumaras there. So this is to show to us how vasana, karma vasana, comes from our offenses to the great souls, right? Kumaras. That's what it has happened.
Yathaja daityagarbhevi prahladasya satastiraha naradad anugrahadasil vishnau sadbhakti vasana.
On the other hand, Prahlada was born in Didi's family, isn't it? Daitya Garbhevi, Didi's family, Kayadhu, his mother, she is an Asura woman. Kayadhu is an Asura woman. And from Kayadhu's, he was born. Kayadhu is his mother. She is not a very devotee family. She is from a demoniac family. And he turns out to be a great devotee. How? Because of the mercy of Narada Maharshi. Why? Kayadhu, remember the story, Kayadhu was going to be killed by Indra. Indra said, in her womb there is somebody there who is going to be a great problem for me. Before that I'll kill him. It so happened that he was pulling Kayadhu to take her to slaughter or kill. Narada Maharshi came that way. Narada Maharshi saw that and said to Indra, why do you kill her? What has she done? Indra said, I have no problem with Kayadhu, but inside her there is this son of Hiranyakashipu. And if it is Hiranyakashipu's son, means he can't be better than Hiranyakashipu. He could be better than even Hiranyakashipu in many ways. So I can't allow that to happen, because Hiranyakashipu has completely kicked them all these demigods there. But Indra knew, Narada Maharshi knew who is inside that. That he said to Indra, don't do anything to Kayadhu. I will take care of her, because in her there is a great personality living, and he is a devotee. And because, and he will be a great devotee, Narada Maharshi says to Indra, and Sri Narada Maharshi takes Kayadu to his ashram and looks after her during the pregnancy period. At that time, Kayadu served in Narada Maharshi in the ashram, did lot of service and pleased Narada Maharshi, and due to that, Narada Maharshi's blessings, Kayadu had a baby who had the best vasanas in that baby, Prahlada. Although Prahlada is the incarnation of four Kumaras, come together as Prahlada. So the vasanas have, you can see now the two scenarios there. One scenario where that Jaya and Vijaya upset the four Kumaras and they developed hate to Vishnu because of that. Four Kumaras, they took birth in Kayadhu, but Kayadhu served Sri Narada Maharshi, and the benefit they got in the form of Prahlada got all the benefits from that. Prahlada got all the benefits. Why? Nobody else was self-realized while in the womb itself. There is no history in the anywhere in the history where somebody was self-realized even before coming out from the womb. And that is Prahlada. So these two things, Udaya Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana, you can see how it affects our future. Our future. That is what it's saying here. That Karma Vasana, what is the speciality with Prahlada? Prahlada's bhakti, isn't it? Bhakti Rupa, Bhakti Vasana. That Vasana was very strong in Prahlada. Nobody could defeat him in bhakti. Nobody could beat him. He was so such a devotee. And that Prahlada's Tudi in the Bhagavatam, when you read, you will see that Prahlada's bhakti there. Yudhishthira Maharaj said to the astrologers that if the devotee is like Prahlada, I have no worry about it, he said. About Parikshit. Prahladascha Sadgraha, it says in the first canto. He will be like Prahlada, he says, Parikshit. They compared Parikshit to Prahlada, and that was sufficient for Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira didn't bother anymore after that. Oh, if he is going to be bitten by the snake, Takshaka, or anything else, what's going to be cursed by Shamigarashi, or Shringi, and Shamigarashi, and all that, didn't bother him. He knew all that was going to happen. But he didn't say one word about it before he left into his Mahaprasthanam, when he left the planet. So Yudhishthira didn't make any arrangements. If he wanted, he could have to protect Parikshit from that. Parikshit was not bothered. He said, as soon as he heard, he'll be like Prahlada. He's safe. His life is safe. That's the best you can do for a person. That if he's a first-class devotee, then he is safe. If he is not, no matter what material shelter and success and help you offer, nothing is safe here. Everything can completely fire back in the wrong way. All your so-called protection and shelter is all useless. Nothing will work. Anything can happen. So, to teach us that lesson, that's why this canto is so important. Seventh canto. Seventh canto's beauty is like this. That how karma vasana decides everything. How karmam decides everything, how karmam creates vasana, and then pleasing great souls, if they have thought about you in a nice way, favorably, it will come out in the form as bhakti in the heart, that you will develop bhakti in the heart. Like the way it has happened to Narada Anugraha Dasil Vishnu Sadbhakti Vasana. Due to Narada Maharshi's Anugraham blessings, Bhakti Vasana developed in the heart of Prahlada, and due to the curse of the four Kumaras, Sanagas, Ashubha Vasana, inauspicious Vasana, this hate and anger and ego of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu is coming from that. So this is the topic of this seventh canto, how Vasana develops. So Bhaktam Jasada Vishnu Dvishandam Abhirakshati Tritiyeda Bhavayed Vasta Agaro Atmasal Punaham. So Bhaktam Jasada Vishnu Dvishandam Abhirakshati. Krishna knows If somebody is his devotee, he will protect him at any cost. And even though they will get cursed, even though they may get cursed, they'll get into trouble, devotee. Ultimately, Krishna says, he will protect them. That's his responsibility. So therefore, this Jayan Vijaya, they committed a serious thing by offending the Kumaras, is it not? And they got cursed. But still, in three lifetimes, they got back. Is it not? So that shows that Krishna is like that. That Krishna knows it's my devotees. Somehow they have made some mistake and they have fallen into some problem. But that doesn't mean that I am going to wash my hands off with them. I will get them back to Vaikuntham again. And he goes back to Vaikuntham after three lifetimes. With us, 300 million lifetimes we have been going here, one body to another body to another body, and still there is no indication of going back, not in the very near future. So that's also the Saptamaskandam important. Ado manishina yatnam karyo mahadanugrahe itye tadartham udinam atra lakshanam uchyate. Therefore, important thing in life is that yatna karyo mahadanugrahe. Always in spiritual life, always you have to get this special mercy from the great souls. But they have to be great souls. Don't go by the position that so-and-so is GBC or this and that, and run after them thinking that, oh, if I please them, because people get all kinds of funny ideas in their head. When Jadabharata met Raghuvana, Raghuvana offended him first, is it not? But then later on he told him that, what did he say? If you look into the fifth canto, you will see it's a fantastic verse. You can study the book's whole life, he said, but you won't get this realization unless yadottrama shloka gunanuvadam prastuyade gramya katha vikatham yahu ganai tapasamayadi na jejaya nirvapanal grihadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suryer vina mahalpada rajobhishekam. He says to Raghuvana, the reason, even though you have studied all the books and you know the shastram, it is not happening, you still have problems. Why? Vina mahalpada rajobhishekam. Mahalpa's service, or you didn't please any mahalpa, you have gone and offended people, that's what you have done. So in everywhere you will see this mentioned, that unless we please those great souls of Krishna's devotees, great devotees, and the funny thing is that you may ask, where are they? Let me go and do something for them. No, it won't happen. The way it will happen is, when you are ready for that, they will come in front of you, like Bharata Maharshi came in front, Jadabharata came to Raghuvana. The life will go in such a way that that personality whom you have to serve in that mood and to serve and get that, receive that mercy from that person will happen in a natural way. Krishna will arrive. Everything is controlled by Krishna. Then spiritual life. That when that appropriate time comes, you will meet that personality, will come in front of you. Krishna will put him in front of you, so you will have an opportunity to serve that person and place him. Because first of all, you have to be ready for that before the great, otherwise mahalpas come, they will be offended. We will offend them and send them back. So rather better that Krishna keeps that control all the time, so that we don't go in the wrong way. So the same thing, what is in that Panchamaskandam, Jadabharata says to Raghuvana, same thing here also. He says, ado manishina yatnam karyo mahadanugraham. That if you get that mercy from these great souls, ityetadartham udinam atra lakshanam uchyate. So it is therefore that placing the Mahatma and receiving their mercy, often you will notice this in life, that when there is a time is right in life, when you have pleased Krishna, you don't know how Krishna will put you in front of somebody who had that whom you will find some shelter and from whom you will receive that impetus in spiritual life. You will be inspired by that. That is Krishna's arrangement. You can't interfere in that. That's the way it happens. You can't. We are thinking that we will investigate and find out a great soul somewhere, wherever he is, we'll get him. And then we will please him. No, it cannot happen that way. When we are ready for that, through our own cultivating, by serving Krishna, you get the right guru. And by serving the guru, you get Krishna. This is what they say, isn't it? You've heard that, isn't it? That by serving Krishna, you will get that Mahatma. And by getting that Mahatma, you will get Krishna. One complements the other. It's all very subtle and it's all very complicated. We won't know it when that happens. Many, many great souls have explained this, and if you look into their life, you will see this happening. You'll see this happening all the time. That every great personality is like this. That they have pleased Krishna at some point in time, and Krishna has sent the right person in front of them. And then the relationship was established strongly. And they served that Mahatma very well, that ultimately they realized and got the spiritual realization from that. So, therefore that is important. Tatra do dashabir daitya talputra madhi bhedada mahal kova anugam bhotam vasana bhedam uchyade. Out of the 15 chapters in this 7th canto, 10 chapters is going to talk about Radha and Hiranyakashipu, the first 10. And what they say is that due to the association with the four Kumaras, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu, and Jayavijaya, what happened to them, and how Prahlada received mercy from Srinarada Maharshi, and which is created this Vasana Bhedam. Vasana Bhedam means, it says, Mahal Kobam Anigam Bhota Vasana Bhedam Uchyade. That Vasana Bhedam means, two different Vasanas were created there. One Vasana in Jayavijaya, which is demoniac Vasana. Another Vasana in Prahlada, which is a divine Vasana. Isn't it? Divine Vasana in Prahlada made him a devotee. Demoniac Vasana in Jayavijaya made them demons. So, here, these first 10 chapters, due to the Mahal Krupa, that means the grace or mercy from the Kumaras, and also the mercy from the Srinarada Maharshi, how in Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada different Vasanas were created. Vasana Bhedam, it is called. Tatrado dashabir daitya tal putram adibhedada Mahal Koba Nigambotam Vasana Bhedamuchyade Sadvasana Jayujeda Karma Bishuddha Jedasa Paraistu Panjabis Tasmal Kriyade Karma Narnaya. Generally, in this world, one who has executed his Swadharma. Swadharma means that you know that when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he talks about Chaturvarnam Mayasrishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha. Is it not? That Gunam and Karmam is Sodharmam. Sodharmam means that according to one's Gunam, the Karmam what he executes. If you execute the Karmam according to the Gunam in you, then it will purify you. But if you execute the Karmam not based on the Gunam or inside us, then what will happen is it will bind us more. We talked about this when we discussed that chapter of Karma Yoga, how it works, how this karma creates these differences in us. And this, you can see, this Varnashrama Dharma, it is so scientific because it's based on the subtle body, not based on the gross body, it's based on the subtle body. In our subtle body,
we have brought with us certain vasanas from previous life. And that vasanas will decide our nature, what kind of work we want to do. Not what the society decides. That's false. That's why we are misfit in many times, in things what we do. We don't fit in. And then we are trying to adjust somehow, I have to live in this world, we say like that. But Varnashrama Dharmam doesn't agree with that. Varnashrama Dharmam, that's why traditionally we had different caste system come from that, based on this Varnashrama system. The caste system, because they don't understand all these things, they simply say caste, 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 and they shout at them. They think, oh, you got this caste system, how sad it is. What do they understand about it? They understand nothing. And these are the people who are criticizing about it. Caste system is a system that is developed based on this principle. It was created. For example, you can imagine, say a carpenter, it is quite natural that the son will have that propensity in him when he takes birth in that family. He will see his father doing the same thing, and naturally it is easy for him to take to that profession. Easily. He will adjust with that. Similarly, a physician, his father is a physician, son will see the same propensity, or a goldsmith, or anything. On all these principles, these divisions have happened. And that is how the system existed in the past. Otherwise, what happens, you see, what Prabhupada gives that example, that children who are, people, young men who are not Kshatriyas, you put them as fighters into the war, they go there and they can't fight, because they don't have that fighting spirit in them. Kshatriya Vasana is not there. Whereas, you can look at all the kings who rule in the ninth canto, when they talk about the history, how amazingly strong and courageous they were in fighting. No question of surrendering, no question of accepting the authority of another person. That is Kshatriya nature. And so therefore, based on the qualities, that division was made. We can't do it. To facilitate that, the birth was given importance at that time. That normally a person who is born in a particular family will have that family traditions in them, somehow ingrained in them. But it's not 100% foolproof system. That also we have to accept that. But majority of the cases, this is how that system came into existence, based on the vasanas inside. So that continued, and Krishna is saying, if you act in this world based on your vasanas, what will happen is that you will sad vasana cha yujyada karma bhi shuddha chedasa, you will get purified. Because what happens, when you act like that, kartrutva bhoktrutva won't be there. Because you are doing it, because my parents have done that, I'm doing the same thing. So there is no kartrutvam there. Where does kartrutvam comes? Kartrutvam comes when you create competition in the society. Everybody wants to become president. Then what happens? Then competition begins. You will do all crooked ways. You try to do your politics and fundraising and all kinds of things. All nonsense what goes on. You can see. So, what happens is that if you follow that route, what's happening, what Krishna is saying here is that it won't purify you. Instead, it will more destroy you when you follow this present lifestyle. You're not getting purified. Karmam is to purify you. Karma vasana to go from inside. That is why Krishna has put you in that state, given birth in that particular situation, because you had some vasanas to burn. So therefore, in that particular environment, it's an opportunity you can act without kartrutva bhoktrutvam, because you are not competing. This competing mentality is not a good thing. Whereas in the modern world, everybody is competing each other. And you think that you have to win the competition. Means what? You'll get very attached to the results, and you will get attached to the... if you fail, you feel extremely bad. If you succeed, you feel proud about everything. This is all parts of the Karma Yoga in the second, third chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. If you understand that, Chadurvarnyam Mayasrashtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha, why Krishna divided all us like this and given a certain birth in some places, in some situation, is purely due to this reason. That is why he is saying here that if you execute karma based on that Varnashrama Dharmam, sad vasana cha yujyada karma bhi shuddha chedasa, it will purify you. Very soon, you will lose this kartrutva bhoktrutva from inside. I am doer, I am the enjoyer. Because you know that when you take up that job, whatever you are doing, say as a carpenter or a goldsmith, this is my profession, my parents have done, great parents, grandparents have done. I am also doing the same thing. And when my children also will fall asleep. So you don't have the anxiety all the time, what my son should become, what my daughter should become, or what my grandson should become, what is the, you know, like the way it is. You don't need all these kind of, in the modern world, what we have the, what do they call it, the consultants or advisors to choose your profession. What is this? This is all artificial it is. It's not the Shastric way. Because Shastram is based on the subtle body inside to make your life more peaceful so that you can live peacefully in this world, execute spiritual life. That's the idea behind it. Anyway, so sadvasana will come if you follow that system. Proper vasanas will develop. Otherwise you can see what kind of vasana will develop inside. By the time 50, you would have cheated everybody in the world if you are clever, cunning, crooked. And if you are a businessman, I'm saying, you will look for quick money, all the scandals in the bank, you don't feel any shame at all for what you have done, ripping off others, and walking away with millions, people's, others' money, and you feel proud about yourself for what you have done. This is the after effect of all this. Whether it is bank, whether it is industry, whether it is politics, all of them misfits. Every one of them misfits there. They don't have the quality and they have taken up these professions. And they mislead the public, mislead themselves. And they themselves get entangled and they entangle others as well. So, anyway, that's the background of this. Tatradu pradhamadhyaye hiranyakashipo sute vishnu bhakte virodastu viprashabija iryate. So, first chapter in this says, Hiranyakashipu became so inimical to Prahlada, who is a very, very pure devotee, and due to Viprashabam, due to the curse of the four Kumaras, it has happened to Hiranyakashipu like that. That hate, to hate Prahlada like that. Otherwise, how could a father hate a son like this? It has happened because of that curse from the Kumaras. With that, the first chapter. So we'll read them tomorrow and continue with it. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.